welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Just going to hum? Should we make nonsensical noises for a while?
I think we could do it for the first couple hours. 866-901-ADAM, 866-901-ADAM.
That was a word.
Give us a call. We'd like to talk to you. I'm not sure about what, but you can tell us. Rachel Perry over there. Dave Damashek over here.
Word. What about the sun coming up?
I'll tell you a couple things. I have thoughts. Believe it or not.
What are you talking about?
The sun is on the rise as we speak.
It dramatically changed in about 4 or 5 days. When we left for Vegas, now I arguably leave for this show later than anybody else involved with this show, ironically. Or maybe not so ironically. I'm the boss. I get to
come
in
to work?
Yeah.
Sure.
When I would open, before we left for Vegas, about, I think it was, let's call it Wednesday when we left for Vegas. I opened my front door at about 5:20, and it was pitch black. And when I opened it 3-4 days later, I could see the sun coming up. It is changing daily. I mean, it's 10 minutes seems to be added on every other day.
Mm.
It, psychologically, it's amazing because no matter what, this is a bigger picture, but we're all sort of... We still got a pretty big part of our reptilian brain left in us, but we cloak it with suits and
get it
perfume.
Out. I don't want it.
I'm purging. Oh, I see that. Yeah. It's a weird thing. Like, we have a lot of drives that are very primitive that probably haven't changed in millions and millions of years. And then there's other parts of us that, it's all about the internet and it's all about cosmetic surgery and it's all about, driving SUVs with navigation and cruise control. But the part where you wake up where it's dark outside, I don't believe we'll ever breed out of man.
What?
Our kids, grandkids, grandkids, grandkids could all be members of the morning zoo. And they would still be miserable when it was dark and they were leaving their house.
Well, I told you last week that I got this alarm clock that wakes you up with light gradually over half an hour.
Yeah, I like that.
Like, you set it for 4 o'clock and at 3:30 it starts to get light and it's just wakes you up naturally.
Yeah, this is a segment. Bresca, write this down. Because we got our life tip segment that we've always been talking about doing. Everybody has their little tricks. It's sort of like we've been in the joint we're lifers. We've been in the joint since we were in juvenile hall. And new people are coming in. And they're fresh and they're carrying their clothes. And we're telling them, look, here's how
you,
like
this
every,
is how you
every,
build a shiv.
Every good prison movie. Look, but don't talk to Whitey over there. He's head of the Nazi lowriders. Don't get involved with them. Stick with me. Now, if a guy comes up and says this, you do that. Yeah, here's a pack of cigarettes. You can trade it for some good shoes. That kind of thing.
Find a weakling and beat the hell out of him.
Find a weakling, make him your bitch. I feel like we need these tips. Life is just one big prison, man. Maybe
you know what? That may be the truest thing you've ever said.
That's true, man.
That's how I feel today.
Maybe the people in the prisons are just in a prison inside the prison. Wow.
Prisons in your mind.
Prisons in your mind. We're all trapped in a gilded cage.
Hey, man.
The more you know.
What do I gotta trade you to get a pen?
My point is there are things. We all have that you've discovered in your own life. For me, I got to write all these down. But for me, I have an alarm clock that projects. It's not really the alarm part. It's a clock that projects the light on the ceiling.
I want one.
Now, if you sleep on your belly or on your side or whatever, like I do, there's no more flopping around and rolling around trying to find the clock. It's always displayed in bold on the ceiling.
Yeah,
it's kind of nice. It's always there.
Let me ask you that. Because I wear contacts, so mm-hmm. I've always seen that thing and thought that maybe it would be a good idea. It
works, and the letters or the numbers are foot large. So if you can make out the alarm on the side of your nightstand, you can make it out on the ceiling.
Well, would it? But would my mirror that I have on my ceiling, does it flip the number around?
It's true. You'd be reading it on your forehead or something. It's true.
Yeah.
I was thinking about other ways to improve our lives this morning when I left the house at the wee hours, and I thought, what's wrong there's a timer on everything. You know, the thermostat has a timer. You can set it to go off, you know, half hour before you wake up. The coffee, yeah, you should set that.
I left my heater on.
The coffee. Yeah, it's all right. You got a small place, I imagine. Yeah. The coffee maker's got the timer on it. You can set that. You can set the timer on everything now. How about a car timer? Mm-hmm. How about your car is warmed up, defrosted, radio on, lights on, running and ready to go when you step out of the front door? Now, a couple things. They have remote starters. You hit the thing on the alarm and the car starts up sometimes. But then you still have to poke your head out. You still have to go down the door in your slippers and fire the thing up in the cold. All I'm saying is most people who work leave the house about the same time every day. I mean, within 4 or 5 minutes, one way or the other, if in fact you live in a house. Now, obviously, it's not going to work if you live in an apartment, you're in there with other cars, but even then, you could probably do the car timer. Yes.
I would say that is asking for trouble. All I could see is that thing, like, causing some carbon monoxide disaster.
Or the terrorists would just get hold of it and use it to blow up federal buildings. But how nice would it be? You set it in. What's the temperature you want? You know, because here's the other thing, too. You came home in the afternoon, maybe the sun was up and it was warm, so you had the air conditioning on or something like that. But now you want the heater on, you want the defroster on, you want a radio station. You program in the station you want, the temperature you want the lights on or off. What do you want? Where do you want the seat? Where do you want the electric? All that. Here's what you go off at 5:15 every morning, and when you come out, come to a nice toasty car that's playing your radio station.
I don't want to undercut your point, but I think in fact that exists already. I think that you can push a button. People in Chicago have told me as much. There's like something you push, and your car is up and running and heating and everything.
No,
right?
But that's the auto starter. That's an automatic starter.
I covered that.
Yeah. I know, but what's the difference? Oh, because the radio's going.
No,
you want a computer controlled center in your house that runs your fridge and your car everything plugs into it.
No, you don't even want to press the button. I don't want to.
Oh, I see. I don't want to
go outside and press the button, number one.
Oh.
Especially in the wintertime if you're talking about Chicago. The other thing is I don't want to have to. Here's the whole thing. I set my coffee maker to a timer, too. It's just nice to come down and have it set. It's nice to have the pot going. I could push the button. It would take a second, but this is nicer. Yeah, I could push the button, but then I would have to remember to push the button, and then I would have to go outside my bathrobe and push the button when it was freezing cold. I just pick the time and have the thing start up.
Nice.
Yeah. Other thing I'd like is it's a little invention, the seat gutter. Every time I sit down, as I've explained, when I'm wearing the sweatpants and the change and the chapstick and the sunglasses and the wallet and the cell phone, everything just goes sliding out of my pocket and gets wedged. Now, if you have a seat that's like a power seat where you have to move it, you're sliding your hand underneath the seat. You're trying to go around the back. There's that little demilitarized zone between the back and the front of the seat where you can't get to anything. Mm-hmm. You need a back scratcher to get in there. And the seats, especially if, like I said, if they're power seats, they have mechanisms. Most cars have power seats now where they have the ball bearings and the sliders and the actuators. You're sliding your hand. Clean your car out good once a year and see what you find in there. They'll be gold. You'll find a CD in there. You'll find some chapstick that went bad. You'll find a cufflink.
Overdue bills.
Body of a prostitute. You'll find everything, little nuts and berries and snacks and wrappers. And I would just love a thing where if I drop something and something went spilling, especially at night when you're looking around in there, it falls out of your pocket, ends up in a hopper in the trunk. It's a seat gutter.
That's
nice. Work on that. Yeah. Yeah.
I always find when I do that, along with the change, as you say, and I do, I happen to do my, make my bills out in the car. So then I find those in there. I also always find a French fry.
Yeah.
Every time. There's always a single fry that's snuck by my lips, my
you
anxious
eat it?
Lips.
No.
I did.
Wow. Ryan?
Hello?
Ryan, are you mad at Dave Damashek?
Oh, yeah. Hi. Let me turn my machine off here.
Mad at me?
Well, yeah. I would just like to thank you on behalf of everyone in America who couldn't watch The Sopranos the night it was on, but used their DVR to record it or their TiVo.
It wasn't me. Play back the tape. I didn't say it first.
Somebody said it, and you sounded just like you.
Wow, that could have been
not
me.
Not just one.
That's Project Corolla.
What time were you listening?
It was, I'm in Las Vegas, and it was around 6 o'clock, and yeah. I don't know what time.
No,
I
mean, you know yeah. what? Can I clear this up?
Yes.
I distinctly remember now it was Adam.
Yeah, yes.
And I know
go
that Adam and Dave
place.
Sound alike, but it was Adam who pulled the Band-Aid off really fast yesterday
oh,
morning.
Oh, now yes. how say you, Ryan?
Oh, well, I apologize to you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Then I'll have to redirect.
All right. Here's why in his feeble mind it sounded like you, Dave. Not only do we sound alike, but... I interjected on myself. I said, now those of you who don't want to know the ending to last night's Sopranos
right.
need to. He got shot! See, so it sounded like you,
right.
in his mind, especially
right.
at 6 a.m., somebody jumped in on somebody else's point. It was me jumping in on my own point. I'm that good. Steve?
Hey, Adam, how are you?
Good. You want to know if anyone did any gambling in Vegas?
Yeah, what was your game of choice, and what was, if you did any, did you win, lose, draw, whatever?
I didn't see you on the tables.
I did no gambling, and I'll tell you why I did no gambling. I am snake bit. I really am. I have no luck. I have great, and I know this is going to sound blowhardy, but it's a message for the kiddies. I have great luck and success at stuff I apply myself to.
Well, that's not luck. That's just making your own luck.
Well, some of it, thank you, Rachel. Some of it can be considered luck. You know, like I met Jimmy Kimmel 12 years ago. I knew the guy was talented. He wasn't doing anything at the time, and I didn't have a crystal ball and know he would be. I just knew he was really talented, and he was a guy to hook up with. And some people call that luck, and others could say, well, you were smart enough to have a relationship with the guy that transcended the sexual relationship, although that was a real component. When people get serious about their stuff in the middle of their crap. But the point is when I do that, I have great luck. When I apply myself to something and I say, here's what I want to do or here's what I'd like to accomplish, I'm fine. When I just sit down and roll the dice, I get nailed every time. And I don't think I'm lucky at all. And as a matter of fact, I wish more people thought they weren't lucky because they would stop playing the lottery. They would stop waiting for their big break. They would stop waiting for the nepotism or whatever it is that they think is going to move them ahead in their life. Assume that if you flipped a coin and there was $1 million riding on it, you would lose. And then move forward as if. Go get your education. Go get your training. Go do your internship. Go kiss the man's ass. I play blackjack. And the last 10 times I've been to Vegas, I've sat down and got cleaned out every single hand in a row without even winning one. It's not even fun. Not even a little back and forth and then tap out a half hour later. I actually have to stand behind my buddy who's playing and collect the drink I ordered 4 minutes earlier and drink it standing behind because I went through $200 that fast. And here's how I knew I was snake bit. You guys probably know this story, but I'll tell it to the folks that are listening. I went to Vegas because we used to do crank yankers out of Vegas for legal reasons. We were checking in. I was there with Good Times Daniel Kellison, who was one of the producers of The Man Show, and then Crank Yankers. He's a chronic womanizer and gambler. And he said, I'm going to gamble. And he's one of these guys, you know Daniel Kellison. Once he figures out you don't want to do something, he wants
he
you to do.
He is one of the few who is, in fact, lucky in life.
He is very lucky. And not
you
only that, he's one of these guys that has this sort of 9-year-old mentality, which is the second he finds out you want to go to sleep at 4 a.m., you must stay up. The second he finds out you don't want to gamble, you must gamble. You know, if he finds out you don't want to eat steak, you have to eat steak. And if he finds out you don't want to eat Japanese, he has to eat sushi. That's how he works. That's how he does his life. A lot of people do that. They're dogs pulling on a rope chew toy. You pull this way, they pull that way. You could turn around, they pull the opposite direction that you pull, wherever direction you're pulling. So that's what he does. So I'm checking in. He says, we're going to play some 21. I said, I'm not going to play 21. I'm cursed. We're playing 21. I want to check into the hotel, then I'm going to my room. No, we're playing. No, I'm not. I'm checking in. Give me $100. I'll play a hand for you. Now, why he has to play a hand for me? And by the way, where do people get this energy? I barely want to. I'm with Sheck. I don't even want to answer my phone on the weekend. I don't much less gamble for people. Anyway, I say, look, Daniel, here, leave me alone. Here's $100. You play one hand with this $100. If you lose, don't come back. If you win, you bring back $200. You one hand, $100. Leave me alone. I'm checking in. So he takes off. I'm still in line to check into the hotel. I come up to the table where, that he's sitting at 20 minutes later after I check in. Daniel, what happened? Well, good news and bad news. What happened? I played the one hand, just the one hand. What did we get? Blackjack. Blackjack. So what did I get, like $220? Well, the dealer got blackjack too. So what happened? Well, I played another hand. Well, we lost. So I actually told it, gave a guy $100, said you can only play one hand. He got blackjack. And I lost. Think about that. Just think about that for a second. That's a loser. I mean, how much money would you bet if you said you could play one hand of 21 and you're going to get blackjack? How much would you bet on that hand? And I lost. Now,
but to be fair, you have no idea if that's even the truth.
It's a good point. But,
he may be parlayed it into about 37 grand.
Probably.
Makes me want to test Adam's luck somehow.
I threw the
press
bones.
Press his luck, if you will.
I threw them bones around, which I love to do. It's the quintessential Vegas game, you know. It's a, you know, 21 is fun because you can get drunk. You sit there and you drink, you kibitz with the dealers as you go along. It can be nice. But the dice, that's where all walks of life come together surrounding that table. And you throw them and, you know. And by the way, all the names of those things, by the way, have you noticed all the game, the little bets you make in the thing, or you have the hard way, and you have the cum bar. These are all great names for gay bars.
I know, cum bar and the hard way.
The hard way, and I'm going over to the cum bar, and I'm going to throw the bones around.
Pass bar.
You want to throw some bones around? Yeah, let's throw the bones.
I was speaking of throwing the bones. We got to take a break, but I came up with a strategy in the wee hours of the morning after going to the Spearman Rhino, which was a lot of guys, Rachel, this may be a little delicate for you, but a lot of guys, they go to the strip club, they put a few highballs in them. Highball's not a bad name for a gay bar either. Write that down. They put back a few, and they get themselves a dozen lap dances. And they essentially have a boner the whole night. And then they go home loaded, 2-3 in the morning, same boner, and they pleasure themselves before they rub one out before they go to bed. They have to. They've been this close, essentially this close to sex for the last 4 hours in the mind of their genitalia. The reality is they know they're paying for a lap dance and whatnot, but the genitalia, it doesn't know what's going on. It's back in high school, and we're this close to getting into Tammy Thurston's pants, is basically what the genitalia thinks. So what do? You rub one out, then you fall asleep, and you dream of sports. I have a new strategy. After being too lazy to rub one out on Wednesday night, drunk, whatever you want to call it, I just crashed out and went to bed. I dreamt of sex and strippers the entire night, because if you go to a strip club for 4 hours, you have a boner for 4 hours, and you just go back to your hotel room and go to bed, it's not like you're going to start dreaming about hunting and four-wheeling. You immediately go right, you pick up right where you left off, and it's one big lap dance. I had an 8-hour lap dance. Freebie lap dance.
Well, that's
how'd
a conversation
you feel in the morning?
On God, by the way. I hurt. I ached.
We should, at some point, a conversation for another time, though, is the philosophical, the paradigm of some people who I've been to the strip clubs with, whose goal it is to finish at the strip club.
Yes. Braska, write that down.
In their pants. And this is something I do not understand.
We have certain friends.
Who want to
actually. Whose goal it is. It's not, you know.
They can do that.
Yes. If they just think about
it
hard enough.
And believe me, it's more than one person.
I realize it's a group of people, some of which you've known.
Who
covet and have shaken hands with. And let me say this as well. There's a part of me, I immediately get angry when I think about it. And then I think, my rage is really envy. It's jealousy. But then there's another part that thinks, oh, wait a minute. If I get with her after you got with her, then what's going on?
What kind of animal?
That's true.
We have lots of strippers coming home from work at this time in the morning. They're probably listening. We should have them call and
see if they've
ever been through that.
It'd be nice if they were up.
What are you, a canine?
We may have dismissed them.
These people. Shame on you.
That's got to be tough for Dave, because Dave's a guy who uses his, you know, slides his hand inside his shirt sleeve and uses it to open the bathroom door. You could only imagine him getting a lap dance after one of these ladies had dipped her wick in some of his buddy's juices.
You get very a lap filthy. Dance the other night,
filthy.
Dave?
Nope.
All right. We'll take a break. Really?
Me no. either.
All right.
No. I tried from Angie, but
I got
she's
one.
Wasted.
I only got
oh, well,
one.
I did get one from Angie, but oh, yeah. I didn't have
we
to
all
pay
got
for
one
it.
From Angie. I only got one. It went on for 3.5 hours, but it was just one. So I can technically just tell my wife I got one. All right, we'll take a break. We'll be right back after this.
It's the Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam Carolla now at 866-901-ADAM. Let's do this.
Yeah. Def Rat Guy coming up a little bit later in the show. DJ Quick also going to be on the show. Comedian Lisa Lampanelli. Bawdy. Brassy. But funny. All right. We have our phone screener, Brian.
What's happening?
Speaking
what's
of gambling.
Yeah. The lucky winner from the weekend.
You?
Me.
Yeah. He was rolling the bones on Thursday night.
Correct.
With my assistant, Lindsay. And they came up. How much did you make?
Lord and Lady Luck, between us, made about $1,400. I think we each made about $700.
Whoa.
At the craps tables.
Wow, that's good money.
It was good money. We were at the blackjack tables with a few albatrosses around our neck, namely Dave Damashek and Mike Lynch.
Mm-hmm.
And once we got rid of them, they followed us over to the craps tables. Once we got rid of them, it was on. It was on in terms of gambling. And I had a good run of luck. I must have rolled the dice personally without crapping out for 30 minutes.
I didn't win or lose any money gambling, but as I go back and look at my spreadsheet, I out about $220 worth of tips to guys who drove me and us places. I realize.
That.
The Class guy drives you to the airport, you give him $20. Then there's the guy meets you at the curb who's not going to drive you, but he's just going to meet you at the curb and drag your crap to the curb where the other guy drives you. Give him $20. Give the guy drop you off $20. I did the Penn Jillette show. That guy got $20 when he dropped me off, and then $20 when he got $20, $20, $20. I'm out. I'm out.
I will park your car all day long, Adam, if you give $20 tips.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, it's 20.
And by park your car.
Yes, I know what you mean. Subterranean parking. Let me park my minivan in a garage. And I mean mini. I mean van.
I mean garage.
I keep hitting mini when I do that one. All right, so what happened? Yes, Brian was rolling the bones. Brian was having a great time making money for others at the table as well, right?
I made more money for other people than I made for myself. I only made about $700 at the table.
Yeah, you really should have parlayed that into much more.
Had I been a little more aggressive, I would have.
Mm-hmm.
But people around me were making thousands, and this is no joke. Like, they were making. A woman came up to me with $1,000 chips in her hand, with glee in her eyes, saying, "Look what you've done for me." People were coming, women coming around from the table and hugging me. It was like a Mardi Gras atmosphere.
Yes.
And this
guy,
awesome.
And this guy next to me, there was the one guy next to me who was betting, no joke, $450 on all the hard ways at once, with
mm-hmm.
$75 for the dealers.
Right.
Guy next to him, I was making this one guy some serious money. He was betting the field, you know, with these mm-hmm. double money, 2 and 12. And,
stupid bet, by the way.
Not this day. I was rolling 12s and 2s over and over again without crapping out. This guy started tipping me, giving me $25 chips over and over again.
Right.
Very friendly guy, nice fella, and gets to talking to me. And he lives in Orange County and says to me, hey, next time you're in Orange County, I'm in Newport Beach. Let's hang out.
Yeah.
Assuming that I bring luck to every aspect of my life.
Well, here's the thing. When people are drunk and people are winning, it seems like a great idea to hang out with your buddy who you only know because he's winning you money and he's loaded and you're loaded. I get a lot of cards, too. I
don't even want to hang out with my buddies.
I get a lot of cards. I get a lot of cards where they hand you the card and they don't even have a reason to hand you the card. Like, they go, hey, I work for a Seagram's distributor in El Monte. Here's my card if you ever need... any, well, just give me a call. You know, I'm sort of like, what do I need? How's this going to work?
And that's what this guy said. He handed me his card. He said, hey, give me a call if you're in Newport Beach. I looked at his card, and I'm like, well, what do you do? It's like, I'm a money manager. I do, it was very shady. I do international exchange rates. And I'm like, oh, yeah, for the next time I exchange internationally, my rates.
Yeah.
And so he handed me the card. Give me a call next time you're in Newport Beach. I'm never in Newport Beach, but I figured we'd give him a call, my new best friend from the table, Michael, and see what he's up to this morning.
Right. Let's gamble with him or something on the phone right now. Let's just flip coins all morning and bet.
It probably won't, but it was worth a shot.
All right, give it a try.
Put his cell phone number on there?
That's what's on the card.
Wow, puts his cell phone on his business card.
Another sign of shadiness.
That's who you want managing your money, a guy who's up at 4 in the morning at the craps table.
I like a guy who gets a business card and then modifies it. Crosses out everything, writes it. Why do you have a business card? Let's just use a piece of paper. Save some money. Yeah, that number's no good. No. That's my ex. That's my old fax number. Why do you have a business card? Get a Post-it. Save money. Just get a wallet of Post-its.
Over under, Dave, on the amount of rings.
Should we leave him a message?
20
to 6. Your call has been forwarded to an automatic voice message.
Definitely leave a message.
System. 9.
What are we
going to
say?
9.
We should leave some of this out. I don't know. I'll figure it out between now and the time the message
goes. This person.
Just feel it.
Press 5 now.
Speak from your heart.
Press 5.
Hey, Michael, it's Brian, the guy you met at the craps tables, your new best friend up here in Culver City. Hey, man, I was hoping we could hang out. I wanted to call you Monday morning right after I got back from Vegas, but my friend said it would be kind of weird to call one day. They still had to wait a day, so God, I'm so nervous. I don't normally do this kind of thing. Hey, man, I might need some exchange rates adjusted, so next time you're up in Culver City, give me a call. Call 866-901-ADAM. Between 6 and 10, that's when I like to answer the phone. So, hey, next time you're up here, man, we'll hang out, and hey, we'll roll some dice. All right, take care, buddy. See ya.
Well,
you came off like a real a-hole.
He's either vomiting or shaving his genitalia and slicking his hair back. One or the other. Either way.
You couldn't have sounded more like you were effing with him. hey, man, I'm just going to...
Yeah.
Whatever.
I was out on the road once with Dr. Drew doing one of these college tour things we used to do. And we're playing, we're at West Virginia. West Virginia University or the University of West Virginia?
WVU. Yeah, West Virginia University.
Oh, okay. And there's not too many places. Here's the thing, you know, smallish town, college town there. And when you come in, they know, the kids know where you're going to be at because there's only one Renaissance Hotel in the whole town. And that's where you're going to be. So I was... I was staying there, and when I came home after the gig, there was Drew and I went out and had a steak and a beer after the gig. I got in about midnight. We had to leave at like 6 in the morning, and there's a sloppy message on my hotel phone machine, you know, this young chick saying, "Hey, Adam, it's Tammy, hey, we want a party." She was like shushing her frat sisters and sorority sisters and say, "Hey, so call us, okay? So give me a call so we can go out and party. We'll do some jello shots. It's going to be awesome." And then laughing and hung up. And I called her at about 5:45 the following morning when I woke up, and she picked up the phone, but she was dead asleep. And I was like, "Hey, Tammy, it's the Ace Man. I'm ready to party." And she's like, and I really believe, and I'm sorry to say this, Rachel, but I believe women get gripped by sleep more than men do. Now, men have the apnea, men fall asleep, you know, behind the wheel maybe more than women and stuff like that. But your average woman, 2 hours before she's supposed, my wife
Talk to me about
is
this.
A lifeless corpse 2 hours before it is time for her to wake up. I believe that that's part. That's part of the thing. That's why guys get a buck to every 75 cents a woman gets is guys can go out boozing and drinking till 2-3 in the morning. Every guy I know has done this and then showed up at work green the following day. It's the ability to rally. Women don't have that gene. Maybe it's the nesting gene. Maybe it's why they live 10 years longer. I'm not saying they're not women who can do it. Those are the ball breakers who are the captains of industry. But your basic sorority chick, you call her 2 hours before it's time to get up. She knew it was me, and there's not anything her body could do to cooperate with her. She was like, "Adam," and I was like, "Come on, baby, we got a party." And she was like, so,
"Well, it's like I'll tell you. You say it's partly nature, but I think it's mostly nurture or unnurtured result of being around your chums. You know, you have to be alert." because otherwise you're going to get mummified in toilet paper by your chums.
Right.
You know? And also add to that that I think we all, in
anyone
the back of our minds,
teabagged right. by a roommate. No.
Yes. I think we. Yes. I think we all also have the. There's the Full Metal Jacket syndrome. I think we all deep down are afraid we're going to have to go through basic training at some point, and then we're going to have to be, you know, waking up.
You know, there's an interesting point too to this as you look back on who's protecting the cave. If it's the middle of the night and we hear something, a window break downstairs, my wife doesn't say, "Stay here, I'll go check it out," and grab a flashlight and a baseball bat and head down the stairs. The guy is the guy who's going to get up and do that. So if you think about it, if you go back, 10 million years and we're in a cave and we got to go check out what that noise was at the front of the cave, then we would have to be lighter sleepers and we would have to get out of bed. Interesting.
True. Powerful. You know, the one exception to that is that in my house growing up, it was Mo Damashek who did the searching. And my old man once, actually, my mother thought she heard something downstairs. So my old man's decision, people always say, have a shotgun and just right. the sound of the gauge right. thing. My old man flushed the toilet to let people know there were let the criminals.
Wow.
No, there are people here and they're doing bad business upstairs.
Archie Bunker's upstairs. All right, we're going to take a little break. Thanks for that, Brian.
I'm going to go wait for Michael to call.
Entertaining, even though we never spoke to anybody. My good buddy, undefeated heavyweight boxer, Damien Bolo Wills, is coming in 19-0. He's got a fight coming up on Thursday. I want to talk to him about that. And we'll talk to you after this.
901 ADAM, Adam.
Yeah. 866-901-ADAM is the phone number. DJ Quick is coming up here later on. Comedian Lisa Lampanelli, Def Rat Guy. A little spotlight on some local talent now. Damien Bolo Wills is in studio. Good to see you, Damien.
How you doing, Adam?
Or as I know, Miss Bolo. Undefeated heavyweight fighter. 18-0-1 has one tie that he's going to avenge this Thursday at the Henry Fonda Theater out here in Los Angeles. And Bolo and I have been friends for quite some time. I've known him since I think he was 1 or 2-0. That's how you do it with fighters, too. You don't go, I've known him since he was 5 years old. You go, I've known him since he was 4-1. That's how you count the age. He is the California state champion and a big man, a quick man, an aggressive man. And I see no reason why he's not going to be heavyweight champ of the world one day. And I'm basically laying a little ass-kiss groundwork so you don't forget about us when you do have the belt.
Never that.
Really?
Never forget about you, Adam, man. You're the tightest softball boxing celebrity I've ever seen.
You've seen him throw it around?
Yeah, man. That guy can fight, man.
Is that right?
Yeah, he's a softball, too. So,
yeah. You hear that? Don't give me any trouble.
I seen him spar with Lehman Brewster one time.
Damashek. That's right. Thank you. Damien, I have seen go from a pup to an animal in the ring. The last fight, he just, you know, there's a couple things, I guess. You'll never. I guess to me about boxers, you take 10 guys and you punch 10 of them, and 9 of them think, wow, that hurt. I'm going to run the other direction. I'm going to get out of the way. And then one of them thinks, that hurt. I'm going to kill you. Not that hurt. I don't want to get hit again. That hurt. Now I'm going to hurt you. And if you have that, along with a 6'4 frame where you come in about 245, it's good for you. Yeah? Damon, you got a fight coming up on Thursday.
Oh, yeah. A big fight.
Which is a guy who's the only blemish on your record, which isn't really a blemish. It's a tie.
Yeah, it's a blemish to me, though. Man. I should have got him out of there the first time, but I'm going to have to make up for that on Thursday night.
It's exciting. I'm gonna be there on Thursday night. If you want tickets, call in. We'll give you a pair of tickets. Here's the thing. We were talking about this yesterday. Everybody... And maybe Los Angeles doesn't have a great fight scene, or maybe not as good as other towns like, I don't know, Chicago or New York or something like that. But people wait for the big pay-per-view. They spend $50, and it's ultimately disappointing. It's a couple of guys whose names are bigger than their hearts oftentimes, and it never lives up to the hype. I say forget that. Go get drunk, pay $20 and see the no-name guys pulling each other's hair and scrapping and fighting after the bell and the audience booing and laughing when somebody throws a wild roundhouse that misses widely. There's nothing better than a drunken audience yelling at guys in the ring and laughing when they miss.
Not enough of the fights around anymore, around the country, really, right? You don't see many places where you can go check out a fight.
No, that's the good thing about Pound for Pound. They're bringing boxing back to Hollywood. You know, everyone in Hollywood has, you know, they have a lot of different jobs, but, you know, everyone likes to see fights. So, you know, late night, they come, you know, they watch the fights on Thursday night here in Hollywood.
I've been to probably 5 or 8 of them, and it's a couple hundred people. The booze is flowing like water. There's lots of celebrities floating around. It's a who's who, and people are just having a good time. And like I said, even if you never heard of the first 3 or 4 matchups in the ring, women are fighting. You have the round girls are good too, because they're good looking, but not that good looking. You can still see a little dimple on the ass when they're up there in the thong back, and it just adds to the collective experience.
I'd like to think, though, that the whole joint is filled with the men all wearing fedoras, you know?
Yes.
Smoking stogies and making announcements like, he's going to whip that palooka, Joe, but good.
No, it's the other way. You will see 28 guys who look like Cedric the Entertainer. all dressed to the nines. So, anyway, Damian Bolo, as we call him, is going to be fighting this Thursday at the Henry Fonda Theater. I'm going to be there. He's going to be the main event, and it's exciting. I'll tell you, they do that thing where they talk about, well, NASCAR's okay on TV, but you got to go there and see it in person. You got to go see a fight in person. You go sit ringside, especially for the heavyweights, and you realize you can really feel the power. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you're getting, I don't sit in the first row anymore because I got hepatitis last time from a Mexican fighter. I don't remember the cat's name, but the point is I'm not. I sit back about 3 rows. I sit with Denzel. Oh yes, Denzel is there. And by the way, Terry Claiborne, who's my trainer and Bolo's trainer, is also sitting there. Terry, when are you going to get Denzel Washington on this show? You know how the game works.
I'm gonna get him on here real soon, Adam. Real soon. Actually, he's out of town doing a movie.
He's
right now.
He's always out of town. Come on, can you hook a brother up? Come on now.
He'll be at the fight. We'll talk about it when he comes to the fight. Yes.
Let me ask you this, Terry. Denzel, he's no stranger to the fisticuffs himself.
Right.
Hurricane, all that. He was a boxer before that, right? He didn't learn
he
it for that.
He did kickboxing, but...
So that's where he really, his skills really were honed there.
Terry
now.
Choreographed and trained and was in that fight with him.
Is that right?
I was in that movie also.
Wow.
Yes.
How about this, though? Denzel versus Adam Carolla.
That'd be
12
a good
rounds.
Match. That'd be a good match.
That's the best fight of celebrities you could possibly make?
That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Pick a winner,
though. Adam's a southpaw, and Denzel is a right-handed fighter. Both of them have similar the same style, so it'd be a unique fight.
Who can drop the hammer?
Adam is a big puncher. So,
is that right?
But Denzel's pretty slick, so it'd be a toss-up.
Let's make this fight.
Yeah, would you do it, Adam?
If he can get Denzel on the show, yes.
Let's make this fight!
We'll make the fight Denzel. When we get him on the show.
I couldn't even get his publicist on the phone. Are you kidding?
So you'll fight his publicist.
All right.
Start Listen. Insulting his honor, and he'll do it.
Yeah. Bolo, are you behind this fight?
No, I'm just going to referee it.
All right. Done and done.
All right, Terry, listen. I'm going to give you a nice big plug.
Okay, cool.
And then you get Denzel on the show. Noah?
Yeah.
What's happening?
Not much.
You live in Los Angeles?
Yes, I do.
You like boxing?
Yep.
You want to go on Thursday night?
Hell yeah.
It's exciting.
Oh, yeah, I know it is.
I'll see you there, too. I'll be the guy way up front, bending his neck, trying to find you. Where is he? Where are... Oh, hold on. Cocktail waitress. Yeah, another highball. Where is Noah? Where is that guy?
I'm right here.
Okay. I got you. Henry Fonda Theater, right in the heart of Hollywood. I like a literalist.
All right.
All right, going to put you on hold. We'll give you 2 of these tickets.
Cool. Thank you very much, Adam.
All right. Again, if you want tickets, you call 323-525-0120. That's 525-0120. in the 323 area code. I'm not just giving my buddies a plug, although I am, and I'm not just having them on here to try to get Denzel on the show, although I am. I will be there Thursday night, and it is a party. I've been like I said, 5 to 8 times, and I just bring your buddy, get your booze on, and have a good time.
This is going to be one of those things. 5 years from now, we'll look back, we'll play the tape back. Unfortunately, the show will have been canceled. But
sure.
Let's hypothetically say it was still on. We could look back, we'd play the tape and say, Bolo, he's undisputed champ of the world.
Right.
And we had him on back when.
Right.
That's how we'll look
Adam
at it.
Adam will be in the front row back in, then, too.
Yes.
He's always in the front
Adam
row.
Adam will be the champion among celebrities after he puts a licking on Denzel.
Yeah. 5 years from now, it'll be great. Not only won't Terry get us Denzel, but he won't give us Bolo either. He's got to do big boy. And then he's flying off to Milan for training. Come on, Terry. Hook a brother up.
What's really going on? It's all good.
All right. All right. Come on. You talk to Denzel. Is he going to be there on Thursday night?
He's going to be there. We got a lot of celebrities, as you know.
All right. Now, come on now. We've met before, but I want you to reintroduce us.
Okay.
I know you're going to be busy with Bolo, but I want you to do that thing, you know?
No problem. You got to stick around for the after party. We're going to have an after party, and you got 7 professional bouts, a ring girl contest. It's going to be a great night of fun, and Bolo revenge in his draw, so
yeah.
With Cedric Fields, so it's going to be an exciting night.
Well, I'm going to be there, and hope to see you all there again. 323-525-0120. That's at the Henry Fonda Theater out here in Los Angeles, coming up this Thursday. Bolo, thanks for coming by.
Hey, thanks a lot, Adam. It's always a good time.
Terry, God bless you.
Thanks a lot, Adam. I appreciate it.
We'll take a quick break. We'll be back with news and sports after this.
Hey, Big Tad here. Today on the Adam Carolla Show, rap producer DJ Quick. He's going to teach Jerron the intern how to keep it real.
I think so, yeah.
The Queen of Mean, comedian Lisa Lampanelli.
I love the black guys, man. That's because they love the padunkadunk. You know what I'm talking about?
Deaf frat guy reporting from spring break.
It was off the hook.
Our psychic friend Tobias. The news with Rachel Perry and Dave's number one sports. All coming up on the Adam Carolla Show.
This is Ron Tater Salad White, and you're listening to the Adam Carolla Show for whatever reason.
Yeah. Phone number, 866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. We were talking, I don't know when we were talking about it, but talking about Scott Peterson. Scott Peterson, maybe it was off the air, but how these guys do better in prison than I did when I was single and out of the joint. It really does speak to the difference between men and women. I mean, a woman, and whether you're one of the Menendez brothers or, oh my God, I got something even, yeah, now I'm really getting on to some interesting stuff in my life, which is women don't normally factor in looks, or they don't make it the paramount issue when it comes to deciding on whether they're going to be attracted to a guy or not. Sense of humor, position in life, income, disposition, how he is around their pets, which is huge. Men don't care about that. Yo, hot looking woman could come walking right into your apartment and kick your dog in the ribs, sending it flying across the living room. And if she was hot, you'd be like, I didn't like that dog either, baby. Now take that bra off. A woman could really, if it was a beautiful woman could come walking into my apartment when I was 23 and single, plant her left foot, and then just give herself a kick like a Uwe von Schaman, and send soccer style, arms out to the side and everything, head down, and just send the dog sailing through the kitchen window, and I'd be like, nice range. That would have been good from 55. Yeah, women, if you ignore the cat, ignore the dog. Don't forget about kicking it or abusing it or even saying you don't like dogs. Just ignoring the dog. Just going in and going, hey, Scruffy.
But then you go the other way, though. So women generally seem to hold fellas to a high standard with these things.
Right.
And yet there's a faction of women out there who choose to not only date, but be married sometimes to convicts.
Well, that's what I was leading to, which is interesting. The cute guys will still prevail. Even the unattractive cons will get laid just because of if they have a case that's noteworthy, if it's in the news. But if you're one of the Menendez boys, young and attractive, you can still get plenty of chicks from inside the joint. Or if you're Scott Peterson, you can still get chicks from inside the joint. And it's funny because girls are like, well, he's cute. And it's like, yeah, but he was cute when he was on the outside, and you didn't really factor it in. I mean, it was factored, but it's somehow cuter inside the joint. Well, here's what it is.
He's a bad boy.
A, he's a bad boy. B, there are a lot of women that are interested in relationships and not having relationships simultaneously, which is I was abused, or I was sexually abused, or I was physically abused, or whatever happened to me when I was a little kid. I have intimacy problems. I can have a relationship with this guy. I can be married to this guy and never have intimacy with him, which to us is a deal breaker. And to them, the only reason they're doing it. So no matter what they say, they always talk about how much they love the guy and if you only knew him and all that. What it is they want to be married without actually having an intimate relationship. And that's what they've achieved when the guy's inside the joint. But it's always funny. They get married and the wedding cake's a Twinkie. And they're like chained to a bench when they're presiding over. And listen, here's the whole thing about losing rights. Once you're on death row, you've already lost a few rights. You do not any longer have the right to walk down to the corner and buy a pack of smokes. You don't have the right to watch the Final Four. You don't have the right to do many, many, many things. You've lost the right to travel. I would argue you've lost almost every right. You're living inside an 8x10 cement bunker that you get to leave for 1 hour a day. So losing the right to marry is fine with me. That's just one more right you've lost. By the way, you lose rights because you killed somebody. You know, there's this whole thing where it's like, what right do we have to take away these people's dignity? We didn't randomly select them. It's not a lottery. It's not like, yo, you were paying your taxes, you're holding down your job, you're loving father of three, and then one day the warden came by your house with an orange jumpsuit and said, sorry, your number's up. What do you mean? I was just going down to volunteer over at the local church. I got a soccer team. Sorry, you're coming to prison. No, what you thought it was a good idea to take a letter opener and put it in an old lady's neck. That's why you've lost your rights, everybody. Let's get that straight. You took away someone else's right to live, and thus we've curtailed some of your rights. That's how it works.
Now, what about the? By the way, that you know the one they made the movie about, the TV movie about the military guy, the major or whatever he was, who killed his wife and two kids.
Yeah, Major Dad. It was funny.
I think we're thinking of different.
No, same show.
It is.
Yeah.
Oh. This guy, he's married. He met somebody in the joint. He didn't meet her there, but she fell for him, of course, after he bludgeoned his wife and two children.
Sure.
She says he's innocent. She knows he's innocent. And this guy, how about the hubris on this guy? I can't think of the guy's name, whatever his name. They made the TV movie about 15 years, starring Carl Malden.
Right.
So this guy, though, how about this guy? He says, I want DNA testing because there was hair found in my dead wife's hand, and it will exonerate me once they do the DNA testing.
Right.
It's his hair. They ran the test on it and it proved it was his hair. What is this kook thinking? Like, well, I insist you do this. Make it admissible. Yet you know it's your hair, though, right, fella?
I think
are you thinking?
I think he was bluffing. Dave?
Yeah?
You know the Menendez wife, the hot blonde chick?
I don't know her personally, but I've seen her several times in town. I haven't seen her in a long time, but she's a hottie.
Yeah.
It just blows me away.
Yeah, the idea that there are guys who, you know, are watching the 2020 special on the hot blonde Menendez wife and then looking over at the cow they married 4 years earlier and thinking, holy Christ, what kind of justice is this?
Absolutely. Just need to kill my parents and I can get a hottie.
I know.
Yeah, makes you very angry, right?
Yeah.
It just is going to lead to more violent crime.
By the way, for my money, nature or nurture, those kids should be let out of jail. Either they have some sort of a bad gene, in which case it's not their fault, some sort of homicidal, matricidal gene, or their parents really didn't do a great job with them. I'm going to argue that when one brother, if I ever turn to my sister and said, look, I'm going to go load up the shotgun and blow dad and mom's head off. How say you? And she went, what time? Well, I want to be there. I would probably argue that maybe mom and dad didn't do a great job. It's one thing for one brother to go nuts. But if the parents did do a great job and they didn't molest anybody and everything was great, doesn't the one brother go, hey, Lyle, let's think about that over the weekend before we actually do it? I mean, doesn't somebody go, what do you mean? Mom was great. Dad was great. We went to tennis camp. We went to private school. They were awesome. We went to Hawaii. Got one of those shirts that says Hawaii 79.
I think, Adam, you've crossed the line, and I think it's time that you seek professional help before you do some real damage. But what about the Menendez girl? This woman, she calls her parents. What kind of thing is that?
Yeah. Yeah. you want to play the part of the Menendez?
I'll be the lady.
The hot blonde?
I'll be the hot blonde.
All right, hold on. Let me close my eyes. Rachel, you okay? Is it okay for Dave to play the hot blonde?
Well, yeah, I think he's much hotter than I am.
I was born into it. Yeah. I was born into the role. Yeah. I become the character.
Who am I playing?
You be the dad. He has bigger breasts than me, too, so
all right.
Okay.
You be the dad, all right?
I'll play the dad. I'll play your father.
Right, okay. Yes, you're my father.
All right, you're going to announce to
Dad.
Me that you want to get married to
Hey, Dad.
Lyle Menendez?
Yes.
Okay. Hello?
Hey, it's Tracy.
Oh, hon, how you? Hold on. Honey, Tracy's on the phone. This is great. How are you, sweetie? You know, you're the apple of Daddy's eye.
Well,
no man good enough for my little girl.
You better make a little room
enough.
Up on that perch because
really?
I have found somebody special, finally.
Oh, thank you. Honey, would you get... She's in the shower. Oh, wait till your mother hears about this.
Well,
I got to tell you this,
though. You pass it along. I can't hold my tongue.
I got to tell you, now, be careful, because there's no fella good enough for my little girl.
Well, this guy is pretty darn special.
Oh, I can't wait to meet him.
And I am in love. I am in love. Mm. And, you know, wow. I mean, he's a great fella. I want you to meet him. I don't know if you can meet him.
Oh, I can meet anybody. Thanksgiving, Christmas, Easter, you name the holiday. We'll have you kids over.
Well,
I got your old room. I still got the Care Bear comforter on your old bed.
And your cheerleading trophies. I'll be there. I want you to know I'm looking forward to the holidays.
Great.
As always,
I'll definitely meet this gent.
Well, I don't know if he'll come with me.
Well,
I don't think he's going to be able to. Well,
if he has trouble traveling or, my God, is he in a wheelchair or something? Is there some reason why he... I'll come to him.
No, he's
We'll bring Thanksgiving to his house.
Yeah.
A strong, virile man, yes?
Well, no, I mean, he doesn't have a home per se. I mean, he lives somewhere. He lives in a big...
What?
He's...
I get it. He works with children, and he's a foster parent and lives in one of the den homes with corresponding cottages where he takes care of the needy.
He's between jobs, actually, right now.
He's not working. An entrepreneur. I was there. That's when I started the tire business.
No.
26 years I worked for Goodyear, and then I said I'm striking out on my own. They said I was crazy. Look at me now.
I know, but I
retired at 61.
I thought, an entrepreneur,
I like that spirit.
Well, I mean, he's not exactly like you. I mean, you know, he
Well, did, I'm short, so he must be a tall man.
Well, he is that, and he's very handsome.
Oh, good.
And that's one of
good,
his
beautiful
greatest
grandkids.
Virtues.
That's what I want. Beautiful but, grandkids.
Well, I don't know if that's even going to be possible.
He's infertile. What happened?
Well,
was he injured in the war? Grenade came into a foxhole and he dove on it trying to save his men?
No, he's been indisposed. He didn't go to this war because he's been, you know, he's people are taking care of him kind of thing. And he's, you know, he's working a little bit. He's sorting laundry.
He's doing his own laundry. Well, that's
he's doing everyone's laundry. The people he lives with, he does all their laundry.
All the other kids at the orphanage?
Well, no, he's actually not in an orphanage. He's in prison.
In prison, so he's working at the prison.
He only works for a couple hours a day.
He's out of there by like 2 or?
Well, he's one of the people who never leaves. He's a full-time guard. No, actually, he's an inmate.
Full-time guard inmate?
No, just inmate. Just.
okay.
He's not a guard.
I've seen it. I saw the Tom Selleck movie. Drug dealers, bad cops come in.
Well,
they try to plant drugs in his house and frame him.
I don't think it's one of those
stories. They come in. I've seen it. He comes home. He's a hardworking family man.
He's
airplane mechanic. Comes home, finds a packet of cocaine.
He admits what happened. No, I think it wasn't one of those. No, he and his brother brutally murdered his parents.
But they
shot them dead.
I get it. An intruder had come into the house. Pulled a firearm on the parents.
No,
they tried to respond by answering fire, and the parents got caught in the crossfire.
So, kind of like that, except it was just that that he and his brother hated their parents. They thought they were mean, so they killed them. They shot him dead.
So his mother.
But he's a great guy.
His mother attacked him, and he wrestled the shotgun away and turned it on her?
No, they were just mean over the course of several years, and so they decided as retribution they would brutally slay them in their home. Well, but he's a super guy. I mean, he's passionate. That's what I love about him.
As long as he makes you happy.
I am, Daddy. I am.
Don't come home ever again. Thank you. Wow. Nice ending of that one. Took a little while to get to the part where he was in prison, but
over-optimistic
dad. All right. Caller Paul is on the phone. He knows the major you're talking about.
Hey, Paul?
Yeah, what's happening?
Yeah, I think the guy Damashek's talking about is Jeffrey McDonald.
Correct, yes.
And I served in the military with Dr. McDonald. He was a doctor.
Right.
Military doctor in Florida? Was he in Florida?
Well, the crime occurred in North Carolina. But what happened was, I don't believe he's guilty either, to be honest with you.
Really?
He was seriously injured, and he also was accused of killing his children.
Yeah.
And I knew that guy for 22 years, and I can't see it happening. And he was severely injured in that attack. He had a punctured lung, and they said he did it to himself because he had the skills to do it, because he was a doctor. But he was a pretty level-headed, straight guy.
Now, so, there are two of these stories. Isn't there one that's from the 60s where a guy's family was killed, or is it the same
guy? Well, this is the early 70s, right? And the guy, and he blamed it on hippies.
Right.
Bloodthirsty hippies.
Marauding hippies.
It was an absolutely horrific crime.
All right,
I didn't know him then.
You stand
but I
up.
Knew him before.
You stand up for this
absolute
guy.
Absolute stand up.
All right. All right. Well, self-inflicted wound, which, by the way, you don't hear about anymore.
His wife had his hair in it. She's stabbed brutally to death, as are his, and his children are bludgeoned and stabbed as well, these little kids, and he has merely a puncture in his lung.
Mm-hmm.
I think,
his hair. All right.
Yes. Every lawman says that he did it.
All right. Anyway, the part of the Menendez wife was played by Dave Damashek.
Thank you.
And the part of her father was played by yours truly.
Adam, you were very giving in that scene as an actor. And I mean,
well, you created an environment that I felt safe in so I could flourish.
I took some,
you took some risks.
I noticed that you were taking some chances, and it was.
I took some chances, you took some risks. Ultimately, we both created a kind of environment where it was safe to take risks.
I thought, you're a generous, generous actor.
You're generous.
I mean,
yeah.
It's why I got into acting, was to work in an environment like
this. I went to a place where I knew it was safe to be in a generous environment.
I mean, I was playing a woman, you know, who's with a murderer, and I took that character home with me.
I didn't know you weren't a woman. I really did.
Is that right? Thank you. And, you know, it was... I brought her home with me, and that was not a comfortable skin to be sitting in.
That's enough. We'll take a break. We'll be back with news and sports after this.
Hello, boys and girls. Glad to be here. Your favorite bearded one. You're listening to The Adam Carolla Show. And it serves you right.
866-901-ADAM, 866-901-ADAM. The beautiful Rachel Perry has taken ill. I don't know if she has a 24-hour flu or what's going on, but she's in the bathroom and having some difficulty. We'll monitor her and keep you posted. I think she's okay, but Dave Damashek is now going to have to wear two hats, not only the news lady hat, but the usual dunce cap with the propeller on top of it.
I think enough's
enough.
For
when he does the news.
Haven't I worn this long enough, sir?
Please. No.
Right.
So, now... with the news, the beautiful Dave Damashek.
All right, there's a lot of excitement in the news today. I got lucky with the day I get to do it on. Extra, the TV show, is reporting that Ryan Seacrest may be dating Terry Hatcher.
Wow.
The recently announced molestee.
I think molestee sounds like something you'd, if you didn't know the meaning of it, would like to be in line for. Sounds like you're nominated for something.
I won Best Supporting Molestee back in 94.
And the molestees are for Brokeback Mountain. Yeah, I think the wheels have come off her wagon. officially. Does it seem like 6 months ago she was just as beautiful as she ever was and just as sane as she ever was and just as fill in the blank as she ever was? And about, not even 6 months ago, since about 5 weeks ago, the wheels just got sheared off her car and she went into a drainage ditch.
Yes, I think when the wheels come off your car and have you sliding into the same bed as Ryan Seacrest.
Yes. Many, by the way, I would say disproportionately high number of Hollywood actresses, models, so forth, were victims. And that's what drew them in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Speaking of victims.
Unlike the agents, which are victimizers.
Yes.
Yes.
They're molestors.
That's right.
Now, this is sad news.
Mm.
Peter Tamarkin, the host of Press Your Luck.
Yeah.
Dead in a plane crash. I don't want to make fun because he died on a charity mission. You know, he transports sick people to hospitals. He goes out in his plane and he was transporting people. It's sad. If I were to make a joke, however, it would involve the whammy. Remember the whammy from Press Your Luck?
Well, I'll tell you, I'm always... This is Press Your Luck, sir?
Oh, yeah.
Boy, you couldn't tell it was done in the 80s, could you? Guy with the five synthesizers.
Well, I always enjoyed, the best thing about Press Your Luck was that the contestants always got into the spirit of it. They would have their score out on the, you know, they would have their dollar amount in front of them. And then the cartoon whammy, the 80s, bad 80s cartoon, would come out. The whammy would be like, rah, 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 and he'd sweep away their numbers and stuff.
Yes.
And the contestants would get into it. They couldn't see the cartoon, but they'd be like, oh, you whammy, and they would pretend to punch at the whammy and stuff.
Yeah.
Good times.
I know, you know, I can't tell what happened with that. The plane is totally intact.
Right.
It looks like they made a water landing. The guy wasn't going to make it back to the airport, so he sort of flared it and put it into the drink, and they must have drowned, or maybe the plane went nose over, purled into the ocean or something. They must have drowned because the plane was intact.
That's horrible.
Yeah, sad.
The long-standing feud between Tamarkin and the whammy now has a winner.
Sorry.
It's very sad. All right. Here's some wonderful news, though, to move on to. Ice Cube is set to star as Gabe Kaplan in a Welcome Back Kotter picture. He's playing the Gabe Kaplan character.
Yeah.
What? Kotter's an old Jew.
Yes, he is.
Clay Aiken is Freddie Boom Boom Washington.
Wow.
What gives? Come on, Hollywood.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. First, Will Smith is, what's his name from?
Jim West.
Jim West, and now this. We got to do it. Whitey's got to start fighting back.
This is silly.
Yeah. I want Horse Shack is Malcolm X.
Make it just call it a different. Listen, it's the same thing as people who put pineapple on a pizza.
Yeah.
If you like pineapple on a pizza, so be it. Just don't call it pizza anymore. Come up with a different name.
Yeah.
Panazzle, you know?
Cedric the Entertainer is the great Jackie Gleason. What's going on here?
Yeah, exactly. Listen. If you want to make a Welcome Back
Kotter... Nutty Professor Eddie Murphy?
This is ridiculous. Yeah, exactly. Listen, Gabe Kaplan, if you want to make Ice Cube as a teacher of miscreants, so be it. Just don't call it Welcome Back Kotter.
Britney Spears is Harriet Tubman. Come on. Yeah, it doesn't feel so good, does it, Blackie? We got to take it back. All right.
Actress Maureen Stapleton from Cocoon.
Cocoon.
And also from Johnny Dangerously. She died yesterday of natural causes. She was 80.
Sad.
A lot of death in the world.
Yeah.
In the celebrity world.
Sure.
And that's a shame that she's gone. And she'll be played in the movie by Queen Latifah.
Wow.
The biopic that is in the works.
Look forward to that.
And you know what? I'm going to leave the news to the expert. Cliff's Notes version of the news.
Not bad.
Now let's move on to the sports.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one sports.
I just got to jump in. As I yelled, take that, Blackie, I looked through the window and noticed DJ Quick and his posse standing just outside the window. Uncomfortable. Let's move forward.
I think that's best.
Yeah.
L.A. Clippers, the favorite team of all of Los Angelinos. They're honing their skills for the playoffs. They whipped up on the T-Wolves last night here in L.A. Chris Kaman overcame that very, very bad haircut of his to score 24 points, grab 23 rebounds.
Well, he's 9 foot tall, and 4 foot of it is mullet,
yeah,
from what I can tell.
He's a lovely man, but
tough hair.
Let's do something about
that.
Go
ahead and shave it.
Sure, exactly. Great news from the NHL, specifically the San Jose Sharks. They won last night thanks to the fourth hat trick of the season from guess who? Jonathan Chicho! The best name in sports. This World Baseball Classic thing, not going well. The U.S. played Korea in Anaheim last night. Only about 21 grand showed up to look at it. The Koreans beat us. Hey, they destroyed us 7-3.
Oh.
Slaughtered by the Koreans.
So sad.
Did you hear about this the soccer team? The New York Metro Stars. Mm-hmm. They've been bought by Red Bull. You know, yeah. The drink.
Metro Star sounds like a vaginal suppository. You know, for like a yeast infection or something. Mm-hmm. Metro Star. Well, now in suppository.
You may not like it, but you don't have to worry about it anymore because now that Red Bull's bought them, their name is now going to be the New York Red Bulls. Or they're going to be Red Bull New York. I've read it both ways. I'm tired of fighting this fight. You know, everyone gets down about the corporate logos on uniforms and the more it's creeping in stadiums.
Right.
You know what? I'm giving up. I realize when the fight is over with, I've lost, and that's why I'm going to go ahead and just even do the work for these people. From now on, the Los Angeles Lakers,
mm-hmm.
The Los Angeles Frosted Flakers.
Wow. I like that.
Yeah. San Diego Padres? No. The San Diego I Padres.
It's not Dave Damashek. It's Dave Clamato. People think you're a nice Italian guy.
That's a little clumsy, but yeah, but I think you're getting into the spirit of. How about this one? This is one I came up with. Florida, the Florida Marlins,
mm-hmm.
They will now be the Florida HBO presents Taxi Cab Confessions, followed by a brand new episode of Real Time with Bill Marlins.
Wow. That's good. I mean, yeah. It's going to be tough to get on the program, probably.
Maybe. But you know what? The gate's open now,
yeah,
so I'm just taking advantage. The Cincinnati Reds?
Yeah.
The Cincinnati Oro Wheat 7-Grain Breads.
That's good. You know, the fact that it rhymes with the old name, I think, is important.
Well, that's what I'm trying to do. And the Houston Rockets, they'll be the Houston Country Crockets.
Oh, yeah.
I've got more, but I'll spare you those.
Please. I mean, okay.
Now, how are your brackets coming? Because everybody's doing their brackets, you know. I just read that in the New York Times, American companies lose $3.6 billion during the week of worker productivity.
That's,
I don't know who gauges this ridiculous.
That's just the Jimmy Kimmel Live. Well, the guy lost another $1 billion doing the report on brackets and productivity, whatever company he was working for. He wasn't working for a company that just follows brackets and productivity. He's probably working for an insurance firm. And
yes.
did it on company time, ironically.
That's a ridiculous thing.
All right, but the point is the computer was there initially to make people more productive in the workplace, and now I realize it's just there for people to cruise porn sites and check email.
Play Minesweeper
and take care of personal business. I mean, over Jimmy Kimmel Live, when that Final Four hits, not that anyone's doing any writing anyway, but when the Final Four comes along, forget about it. It's nothing but hoops talk. It's nothing but brackets. Not to mention all the fairy tale football and the fantasy baseball. It's rather they should be ripped out, or somebody should just do something with a computer at work that enables it only to be used for work.
Yes, but the news is this: is that we have to all get our brackets in and see who's going to come out on top.
Yeah, no, I'm working on mine now.
Good, perfect. And the other story from college basketball right now is that Temple coach John Chaney. NCAA college coaching institution, molder of young minds, a legend in the coaching ranks, has retired. You know, people are hailing him. What a great guy. Look at what he did. He's a, you know, really disciplinarian, tough love. And here's his greatest moment when in 1994, John Calipari, his nemesis from UMass, after the game, listened to John Chaney.
Shut up.
This is in the press conference. He walks in. Everybody talks about Bobby Knight throwing the chair. That right. was nothing. John Chaney walks into the press conference and says to the other coach, "I'm going to kill you! Next time I see you, I'm going to kill you!" It's all on tape. Fantastic. Fantastic stuff.
Dave Damashek's number one sports.
I'll say this in their defense. The Jews are very passionate people, and they take winning seriously.
I didn't know he was Jewish.
Well, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
I don't want to stereotype, but hoops, threats, you do the math. All right. DJ Quick is coming in here. Lisa Lampanelli, Rachel Perry. You all right? You feeling better?
I'm good now. Thank you. I'm sorry.
You're on the mend? That's okay. Def Rack Guy is going to be joining us. Tip of the hat to Dave Damashek for filling in with the news and doing a doing a yeoman's like what job on that. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this. I come from the school of the fly, wicked, and the slick. A lot of people already know exactly what it's like, cause it's the DJ home Quick the jackets and the in studio. You bet the name of my hometown. This is Damashek's rap, too. I stole it. Well, he wanted to rap, but he couldn't find anything that rhymed with Allegheny Mountains.
Monongahela.
And Monongahela. Beaver Falls, though, he could rap with. DJ Quick, good to see you.
Hey, what's up, Adam?
Thanks for coming to the program.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me.
Got a live CD coming out, or as we say, dropping, June 6th.
Yeah. Live at the House of Blues.
Guessing that's a Tuesday. Did you do it out here at the House of Blues?
Yeah, we did the first one in San Diego and did the following two on Sunset.
And does it all mix into the same CD?
Yeah. It's pretty much just the Friday night show. It had the most energy.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one we ended up filming, like Network Live filmed it in high def, and we audio recorded it.
Well, when you set out to do a live CD, do you just record? We record an entire tour. I know you didn't do it in this case, but I mean, does one just record an entire tour and then take the best cuts from whatever cities you're in, or do you usually just do one venue?
Well, you know, you pretty much try to catch the music or the magic of one venue.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
in one night.
Yeah, one night.
Oh, those aren't good odds.
Yeah, I would want to do it over a 10-year span.
That was pretty cool. It turned out good.
DJ Quick told me before we went on the air that he and the Ice Cube Welcome Back Kotter just landed the star. He just landed the role as Vinnie Barbarina.
Wow.
So congratulations, Mazel Tov on that.
DJ Quick here. I'm reading that there's a rumor circulated that you had something to do with Notorious B.I.G.'s death.
Hey, who said that?
I don't know. It says it on this card. I'm just reading it.
Hey, well,
Fresca, what happened? Did you dig that up?
If it's on the internet, it's got to be true. No.
Wow. And that's really on the internet. That's scary. That's dangerous.
Sad, yes.
If I go to New York, you know, and somebody takes that seriously.
Yeah, who do you think? And they never got, there's been no closure on that, or a Tupac, or who else? Is that the only two I'm thinking of?
I think so.
No.
Both unsolved.
Yeah. Yeah, the two, there's Biggie Smalls, right?
Right.
And then there's Notorious.
That's the same person.
Oh, the same guy. All right. I got to hip it up a little bit. All right. Why have two names, though? You know what I mean?
Well, that's one big name.
Well, it's not like my name is Adam Carolla and Adam Rich from Eight Is Enough. You know, although if I was to rap, I think I might pick that one up. Point is it's an unsolved case.
Right.
And do you have any leads?
If I did, I wouldn't talk about it. That's not my business.
You wouldn't?
All right.
But you might know something, right? Does somebody know something?
I don't know. I mean, you know, it's ironic. I was there that night. I was at the party. It was like a big vibe party at the Peterson Automotive Museum.
Right, right. And, which is two blocks from where we sit, by the way, right on Wilshire and La Brea.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it, you know, it was a disturbing sound. Like, the whole...
You heard the shots and everything?
Yeah, I was, like, nearby. I was, like, in the car, like, two cars behind them.
Because people were filing out of the party, leaving the party.
It was over. He had left. Puffy and them had left. So we all started leaving. We got in our limo and, you know, shots rang out and it's just mayhem.
And there's also a thing, I was reading an article about it having to do with the LAPD and some bad cop and an insider and all that stuff. But yet they never seem to get to the bottom of it.
Right. Well, his mom, Valletta Wallace, won a, you know, she won that that suit against the police. So.
Oh, she did?
That's right, yes.
Yeah.
So what happened with that? I didn't know about that.
I'm trying to remember.
I just saw her get in an MTV, like, I saw her at the MTV Music Awards that year, and that was the last I heard of her. I didn't know she won a suit against the LA, against the LAPD.
Wasn't it they were withholding evidence or something like that?
She proved it.
Mm. Yeah. Maybe somebody out there knows.
You know, they always talk about the corruption of, like, Chicago cops and sometimes New York cops, but I think LAPD could probably give them a run for their money. I don't think that's any secret, is it? Well... Yeah, it's not. You know what it is? I don't know. Maybe we don't have the rich history that some of these places do. Maybe it's the mob.
I think Rodney King might disagree with you on that.
Well, no, but that's just basic. That's just basic street beatings. I'm talking about deep corruption.
Oh, I see. Yes.
I'm saying I think these other cities where the mob got started.
Institutionalized.
Kind of. People bought off early and often. Boston. Right. Chicago, places like that. L.A., we just don't hear about it, although we just have, our cops are just more thuggish.
DJ Quick, how say you?
How say you?
Well, you know, coming up in Compton and, you know, getting harassed by the police my whole life, I could say, you know, that, you know, some police forces have rougher guys and anything like some.
Really?
Guys.
Harassed by the cops?
Come on, man. We used to get our ass kicked.
Really?
How so?
I mean, you know,
you were doing nothing wrong, and 5-0 would just come
in. We were guilty from our color, like, you know, just the color of our skin. We used to get beat up and put in jail and made to wait until, you know, we could get released on an OR because, you know, we didn't do anything. And that was just normal. That was the norm.
They would just come by and they'd rough you up. Coppers.
Exactly. That's normal.
Really?
That sucks.
I got a ticket for jaywalking in Burbank once.
That does suck.
You know, it's not the same, but I felt pretty roughed up. I can relate.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm down. I feel a brother's pain because I got the jaywalking ticket and I was in the crosswalk, but the light was flashing. I mean, look, I'm just saying, we both had it tough.
We're people, is what
we're
you're
both,
saying.
We're both. Well, thank you. All right, Jaron.
What up, Doc?
Is that you, Jaron? I wasn't looking.
No, I'm trying.
No. Speak in your normal Jaron voice, please.
Hello, Adam.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. DJ Quick is here. We're going to work with you. I want to ask you about Shaquille O'Neal before we get into it. Jaron, did you produce tracks for his CD?
Yeah.
Is he a good rapper?
Yeah, he's decent. He had this writer named Peter Guns who wrote his lyrics for him, and he learned them, and he sounded actually pretty good.
It's funny. He's definitely growing on me every time I see him on TV.
He's the
screwing
best.
Around now. Well, I don't know if he started off as the best. He was always sort of an enigma, and he was funny sometimes, and then he was kind of self-important other times, and he had an attitude other times, and then he'd be joking around. But in the last few years,
I think
he's
the funniest. I think that whole thing is a bit, and I think he's the funniest guy in sports. DJ Quick, funny fella. Shaq Fu?
No, he's hilarious. He's like a big kid, a big rich kid.
Yeah. And I like the idea that he gets deputized wherever he goes.
Yeah.
And does all that stuff.
I like also, like the fact that these guys who have been on the force for 25 years, you know, toiling away, trying to, you know, work their way up to be detective, and Shaq Fu walks in the front door, and they put the badge on him. He's a detective!
Yeah.
Oh, terrific.
Meet your new boss. He's been at it for 10 minutes.
That must be upsetting.
Jay?
Yeah.
You know the BIG details?
Well, yeah. Yeah, I'm not 100% sure, but I think what happened is the federal judge threw it out of court for some prosecutorial misconduct, whatever, and it's still gonna go back to court. I don't think his mother won the case yet. I think that's how it went down.
Oh, okay.
So good luck.
I would like to get to the bottom of that case. I'd also like to get to the bottom of the case where the mom of the North Hollywood bank robbers. The two guys from, like, the Soviet Union who were shooting, you know, they pumped, like, 1,300 rounds into the neighborhood.
Yeah.
They eventually got shot. One of them shot himself, and the other one got shot, and they left them to bleed in the street over there in my hometown in North Hollywood, close to where I got the jaywalking ticket. It was a tough part of town. The mom of one of the guys is suing the LAPD, saying wrongful death. And her son was the guy who came out of the bank with the body armor on and the AK-47s with the 40-round banana clips. They were just spraying bullets all over the city, armor-piercing bullets, cops running for cover, shooting. I mean, they literally put over 1,000 rounds into the community and shot up everything, every squad car, every civilian, shooting helicopters, hijacking cars. Eventually, when they got shot and the guy died, she's suing. Wrongful death.
He was misunderstood.
That's right. That's right. They said they should have got him an ambulance faster.
You know, it's funny. We went over there, like, the next day. Like after
over to North Hollywood?
Yeah, after the police had kind of, like, you know, left the spot.
Right.
And just to see, like, the amount of, like, there was a Ralph's or Albertsons or something across the street that just was riddled with bullets. It was like brick walls that the bullets went right through. And you think, like, if I had been here yesterday, where could I have hid to not get shot? I don't think there's nowhere in one vicinity that you could have hid and been safe. Them dudes was like just...
Well, especially because the guys had the armor-piercing bullets, which, you know, in these movies, you see the guy hiding behind a bamboo fence and firing over the fence and then reloading on the other side of the bamboo fence. This stuff is going through engine blocks.
Right.
I mean, the guys hiding behind the cop cars, that's just sheet metal. I mean, the bullets are just flying right through the cars, right through the doors. Literally, the engine block is the only thing you can get behind when you have armor-piercing bullets. So this stuff's going through concrete blocks. It's going through stucco. You being indoors doesn't do anything. It's just going right through the stucco and right through the drywall and right into you.
Right.
I mean, it was incredible, and it was amazing, even though some people were wounded pretty badly. Nobody was killed but these guys, and these guys were just spraying bullets everywhere.
Did you notice that all the police, the only places they got hit with bullets was like in the butt and in the, you know, in the butt.
Oh, man. Is that, are you taking a dig at the cops?
No, I'm saying just, you know, taking a hit from behind.
Well, imagine.
My security's a cop. This guy is a cop.
Imagine you got your little 9mm, you're going over the hood of your cop car and you're shooting guys and it's just being collected by their body armor. They're noticing you and just spraying armor-piercing bullets that's shredding your cop car. You'd be hitting me in the ass and I would be at home.
That was probably the inspiration for all the Grand Theft Auto video game.
It probably was, yeah.
When you think about it.
That's who the family should sue, the makers of that. They should get a taste, intellectual property.
Yes.
All right, DJ Quick is here. We're going to take a break. Charon? Yes? Yes?
This will be good.
Yes, we're going to... Charon is our intern. He's a man of color, but... It doesn't sound
his
like
soul,
it. Like,
his yeah. soul is whiter than Bruskus right over here.
Right.
And that's hard to do.
Soul is whiter than Gabe Kaplan's. So we'd like you to help him out. Tune him up a little. Give him a little neighborhood flavor. You know what I'm saying?
How do we do that, man?
Oh, we'll do it. We'll do it after this.
This is Sophie Monk. Call Adam Carolla now at 1-866-901.
Thank you. DJ Quick is in studio.
Sir.
Lisa Lampanelli coming up. Queen of the roast. I did the Pam Anderson roast with her, which really just turned into a Jimmy Kimmel, Adam Carolla gay lover roast. Here's the thing about this roast. It becomes like a dog fight where, you know, you try to get your own dog off the other dog and your own dog bites you in the shin. You get it, too. You didn't even think you were being roasted. Everybody up there on that dais, 1 million gay Adam and Jimmy jokes mixed in with a 1 million fake boob Pam Anderson joke night. And Lisa Lampanelli spearheaded the whole thing. So she'll be in here in a couple of few. DJ Quick, live from the House of Blues, which is coming out June 6th. We'll look forward to that. Also DVD, which is coming out in August. Same of the same show, right?
Yeah. Hey, the cool thing is that it's coming out on my own label. Like, I have my own record company now.
As opposed to, so you don't have to break it up with the man.
No.
You don't have to give him any money.
The big boss.
Your own boss can suck too, can it?
No.
No,
the autonomy is, that's what we all dream of.
Yeah, but autonomy, you call it autonomy, I call it responsibility.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, people, it's nice to be the boss, you know, maybe if you're Donald Trump, but when you're just the boss of your own small business,
spearhead everything.
You don't get any weekends off.
Right.
You're getting sued all the time. You have some crappy employee that, you know, showed his genitalia to a temp, and now you're getting sued.
Oh, I think you hit a chord, Adam.
Did something happen?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't get the, you know, sexual harassment yet.
No, it's coming.
Get that suit.
Believe me.
What do you think of, speaking of people who are become corporate shills, what do you think of the people, like, the hip-hop thing, the hip-hop game, you know, 10 years ago, very different than what it is now. Now you have Queen Latifah doing ads for Kmart or whatever she does ads, or Walgreens, and, you know, Ice Cube starring as Gabe Kaplan. What do you think of this sort of thing?
Well, it's natural progression. It's what people that are popular just transcend to. I mean, especially Queen Latifah. She's always been, like, even in rap, when she was hardcore rap back on Tommy Boy, you know, you kind of always knew that Dana would grow into something else. Like, you saw it coming, because she was just, her presence was big.
So you approve of this progression of the mainstream?
Yeah,
of
more money. She's parlaying her situation into, you know.
I was a fan until she got the breast reduction, and then we parted ways. Because on principle, I won't talk to anyone that gets any kind of breast reduction.
Boobies!
That's right.
A man has to stand for something in this world.
We were very close. We were good friends. We used to kick it on the weekends, as I called it. We'd lay down some jams.
Did you ride motorcycles with her?
We rode some bikes. We
kicked, they fly, dude?
We flew some jams and kicked it together.
Oh, so square.
And then she got the breast reduction, and I told her, well, this is where we part ways. I'm sorry. We've come to a fundamental fork in the road. I'm going to travel down Boob Highway. You go down A Cup Road, and I'll see you in hell. And that's the last time we spoke.
I said good day!
DJ Quick.
Let me just say this about the queen, Dana, as I call her, when we were chilling in my crib. She gets the Academy Award, and then her next project is Taxi, which is arguably the worst movie of the year, and then goes on to do a bunch of Pizza Hut commercials. You know what I mean? It's weird. She has the Academy Award, and a lot of guys have done this, a lot of notable actors. They win the Academy Award, and then the next year do the worst movie of their career. Now, do you think they did it in advance, already signed the contract? Is that what happened?
I have no idea.
She won an Academy Award? I don't remember that.
Oh, she didn't?
I don't know.
Maybe she was nominated. Maybe she got nominated for Academy Award, but it was all about her.
That's
that Academy Award.
Yeah.
That's right. Jamie Foxx gets it for Ray and then goes on to do Foxfire. Or some kind of a bad futuristic movie about fighters, that airplanes that had taken over.
Here's what happens, though, when you are in charge of your own company. This sort of thing. What is the story with your $500 million lawsuit against you? What gives? $500 million?
Well, we sampled an Indian record.
They'll be lucky to get half that, by the way.
No, actually, we got 480 paid in. I got 20 mil to go. All right.
Are you joking? You paid it?
No, of course not.
He paid half a billion.
Interscope paid it.
Yeah, what happened? You sampled?
I sampled this Indian record off of Indian TV and put a real cool beat to it, and you know, we put it out on Dre's label, Aftermath, on this girl named Truth Hurts. Real dope record. I mean, blew up, hit number one and all of that. But I didn't clear the sample. I didn't, you know, I don't speak Hindi. I don't, you know, I didn't know any.
Someone at the record label didn't know better than to do that?
Yeah, of course we did, but, you know, Dre is notorious for getting sued for samples. So
how does it work? How do you discover a sample?
You just find something that you like that you hear, and you just steal it.
I think you. let me write that down. That works for everything: clothing, cars, everything.
Comedians.
I think here's how. I don't want to point any fingers, but I think you have to be stoned to discover a sample. I think you have to be baked. I think you have to be sitting in your house and you have to hear something come on TV or hear something come. If you're not stoned, this is why the white man doesn't discover enough samples. Because we're not stoned enough, and if we are, we're out kicking a hacky sack or throwing an ultimate frisbee.
It's true. White people don't smoke enough weed.
You have to smoke weed, and then you have to sit in front of a TV set while you're baked and just tune out and see what enters. That's when you'll discover your sample. You have to be high. Every sample you've ever discovered, you've been high, yes?
Not everyone.
But 99%?
But sometimes, you know. You hit a blunt and it makes things more open.
The Hindi sample you were
high.
Yeah,
that was, yeah.
See?
Can I ask a question?
How that CD even got into your CD player?
Actually, no, it wasn't a CD. I
watching
saw it on
TV?
Television.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Just pushed record on the VCR. Like,
do you
quickly,
see, Dave? Now
hot.
You make fun of me. Whitey, kicking around a hacky sack, not making a penny.
That's me.
That's
all
you.
My free time devoted to that sack.
Not making money. I'm sorry, go ahead, Rachel.
Could you possibly have made enough money on that one song that a $500 million lawsuit was
no
worth
way.
It?
No way.
Yeah.
No, they did it on principle. you know, yeah. their whole thing was...
India as a nation does not have $500 million combined. Well, how could they sue you for $500 million?
I don't know.
Well, you sue for whatever you want, right?
I guess that's true, yeah.
And then, you know, the judge goes, give them 10%. There you go. All right. Wow. Well, I feel high all of a sudden.
We really covered a lot of ground with DJ Quick.
Charon?
Yes. Still here.
So, DJ Quick.
Yes, sir.
Charon is our intern. He's bright. He's beautiful. But he's really, I try to put this delicately. He's not black enough. He doesn't sound it when he answers. When he picks up the phone.
Right.
You know, and we don't get any credit for hiring folks of color because Charon picks up the phone and they don't know. And I'm looking to sort of change him around a little bit.
Yeah, Adam's like Angelina Jolie. Like Charon is our Maddox, and we want to take him back to Cambodia and show him his roots.
That's right. He's a baby of the world. Well, and yeah. I've adopted him.
We want to help him understand his culture.
So, Charon, where were you born, Charon?
I was born in San Diego.
Good start. The rough part of San Diego, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Take him out to Compton and have him arrested.
I was thinking that. We got to put him in a lowrider and take him up and down Rosecrans.
And what do your parents do, Jerome?
My mom stays at home, and my dad...
Surf instructor?
No.
No.
My dad is in upper-level management.
And they're still together?
Yes.
Oh, well, there's the problem. All right, so...
At the saltine factory.
Wow. Where does your dad work?
Upper-level management.
Post office.
Ooh. Interesting. All right. Upper level management.
I just spruce it up a little bit, you know, make it fancy.
Parents still together. Are they out? They still out? You're not out in San Diego. They're not out in San Diego, are they? Or are they?
No, they're in St. Louis.
Oh, they are?
Yeah, in Kirkwood.
Why? Why'd they move?
Job transfer, my dad.
Okay. So they're out there. You're out here. You go to Cal State?
Cal Poly Pomona.
Cal Poly Pomona. All right. Engineering school, yes?
Yes.
What are you majoring in?
Marketing.
All right. So... Could you take some, DJ Quick, could you give him a few tips on just sort of, you know, if he's got to pick up the phone, sounding just a little more urban?
Yeah, man, you should probably go spend some time with your pops in St. Louis and get some of that slang, because, you know, they real ghetto out there, dog. And they, you know, they got the gold teeth, and they, you know, they holler, you know what I mean?
See, the problem is they live in Kirkwood, which is like Orange County again. It's the suburbs.
Well, that don't mean you got to stay there. You know, jump in the rental and go to the hood.
Go to East St.
Yeah, get shot at a couple of times and hear dudes cussing at you in a language you don't understand.
But, Charon, how would you answer the phone if the phone rang now? I mean, if it's just, bring, bring.
Who this is?
That's a little better. Who that is.
Oh.
It's like, who that is. And
get it right,
not
Charon.
Not the T-H, it's just that, D-A-T. Like, yeah. Who that is.
Who that is.
And you don't do the S either. It's like, who that is.
Yeah.
Who that is.
Okay. Almost. You're getting better. You're getting better.
All right, so we'll try it again. You ready?
Yeah.
Bring, bring.
Who that is?
Hey, dog, what up?
What's cracking?
Oh, man, chilling. Hey, oh, man.
Hey, yo, what you want?
Kind of. Yeah, it's attitude, too. It's like swagger.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. It's ghetto, man. You got to keep it straight.
We should hear how DJ Quick would answer the phone if he was working here.
DJ Quick, how would...
Like, you play the guy that's calling, and you play Charon the intern.
All right,
wait a minute. Who's playing Charon the intern?
All right, DJ Quick will play Charon the intern, and you play guy who has questions
all right,
for this show.
So here's how it should go. All right, so I see DJ Quick, you pick up the phone. Bring, bring.
Yo, what's up?
Hi, is this the Adam Carolla program?
Yeah, this is. Who want to know?
Well, my name's Fred Johnson. I was interested in doing some sales for the show. Is there somebody I could speak to?
Well, no, they're on the air right now. Hey, just leave me your number, and we'll call you back, or I'll have him call you back.
Well, who is this?
This is his help. This the homie.
Well, could I get a name, please, Mr. Homie?
Yeah, this Dante.
Oh, do you have a last name, Dante?
Yeah, Dante. That's all you need to know.
No, I find this highly unprofessional, Dante.
Come on, you call it here. Where are you going to sell me? You call it here.
Well, I will say that if I do call back again and talk to management, I certainly will report your attitude to them.
Well, that's all right, because that ain't my real name anyway.
Oh, wow, he hung up on me. Marge, he hung up.
That was excellent.
Do you see how it goes, Jerron?
I have one for Jerron here now.
Yes.
I'd like to try one. Jerron, now I'm going to call you. Hello, is this Jerron? Hey, great news. I have tickets to the St. Louis Blues Montreal Canadiens hockey game tonight. Would you like to go?
Are you serious? Hold on. You didn't do the bring, bring.
I'm sorry.
You got to do the phone.
Bring,
call.
Bring.
No, bring.
Bring, bring. Hey, tickets to the St. Louis Blues and Montreal Canadiens hockey game. How say you? You want to go?
Yeah.
No, that's a trick question. Let's try it with DJ Quick.
Okay.
You want to go to the hockey game tonight?
I don't do hockey. It's cold.
Say.
Jerron, you don't go to a hockey game. Come on.
You have the Ducks.
Oh. We just got to blow this whole thing up and start from scratch.
All right. Well, I there's only so much we can do with you in one break. Lisa Lampanelli's coming to studio.
Hey.
No greater lover of the black man than Lisa.
Oh, I love the blacks.
Yes.
Hey, Adam Carolla, good to see you.
Good to see you, Lisa.
Who's the little hot chocolate daddy next to me?
Oh, boy.
Rare, holler
oh,
back.
Boy. What's up?
I talk blacker than it. Ooh, look at I'm surrounded. It's like an Oreo cookie.
How you doing?
Rare.
Pumpernickel sandwich there for you.
I enjoy that very much.
Nice. They're both attractive men of color.
I must tell you that I love the blacks, as you know.
Yes.
I have the big ass, so you have something to hide behind when the cops start shooting. So I think, let me see, which one was the blacker one? Was it you or him?
It was me.
Oh, you're the blacker one?
No.
Oh, no, you got the braids and stuff.
Yeah.
No, I love that.
No, it's him.
Oh my God! I can't tell who's blacker.
Hey, yo, dog.
Hold
on, Lisa. Focus over here. DJ Quick is from the hood.
Yeah.
Whereas Jerron is from San Diego.
Jerron's cute. You know, I think I could teach you how to be black. Just grow a longer thingy and quit your job.
Oh, boy.
Good, DJ. You know, I'm just kidding.
I see you, Lisa.
Don't get up on my grill, baby.
No,
you know, holler back.
I see you with the hand movement.
Oh, man, I like him. He's sexy.
Do you only exclusively date black guys?
Yeah, because, Adam, I mean, it's a well-known fact. The broad who looks like me is going to get either a hot chocolate daddy or an ugly, chubby, disgusting white bastard. I can get LL Cool J or Jared from Subway. You make the choice. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to get the hottest white guy on the planet. So I got to get either really famous, really go on Jenny Craig and lose weight, or get a black. I'll stick with the chocolate love.
You're right. I'm going with you on that.
Yeah,
DJ.
Absolutely.
DJ,
yeah.
Now, do you like the white ladies?
Do you enjoy that? We'll pay you utilities if you're hot.
Yeah, actually.
No, it's the truth, DJ.
Actually, you know, I mean, you know, I can get beat up for this in my hood, but...
That's all right.
Yeah, it's...
You really?
The white thing is kind of cool.
Yeah, well, that's true. Yeah, of course he would be. Let me tell you something about him. Black guys are so hot that at this point, I wouldn't even make you bang me. I just let you punch me in the face. Repeatedly pummel me, and I would get off on that. Do you understand me? I like it rough. Don't slap the ass, hit me in the face.
Masochism, huh?
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, see? Oh, he's hot. See the way they talk? See, Adam, I'm going to be honest with you. I date the blacks a lot.
Yeah.
And, black guys just know how to talk to a bigger broad nicely. You know what I'm saying?
We like it big.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
it's something about that slender thing. You don't feel that warmth. You know, we need that,
you need
that
like,
cushion.
Exactly. It's a cultural thing, man.
Yeah.
And here's the deal. I was with this guy in Oakland, California, because that's where they keep a lot of you people. And I will tell you something off the bat, Adam Carolla. Yes. This guy looked at me, and only a black guy could say this. He goes, girl, you got some bomb-ass coochie. Now, come on. Can you see a white guy saying that with anything convincing? I was walking with my Elvis out for three freaking days.
Oh, yeah.
I want to hear Jerron say it.
Say it, Jerron. Right. Say girl. A little higher. No. Girl. Okay, good.
Girl.
No, not L on the end. Leave the L off. It trails off. I can't believe I'm a white bitch from Connecticut teaching a colored guy how to talk.
It's a beautiful melting pot we're living in, isn't it?
Wow.
All right, we need to take a break. Jerron,
practice that over the break.
During the break, I want you to beat Lisa Lampanelli with your engineering calculator.
Excellent.
All right? Not a problem. I want to thank DJ Quick for coming in here live from the House of Blues.
Yes, sir.
Coming out in June 6th, that is.
Following right after it.
In August, that's right. DJ Quick, thanks for coming by. Come by anytime. Lisa, you hang out, and we'll be right back after this.
You're listening to the Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam now at 866-901-ADAM.
Yeah. 866-901-ADAM. Lisa Lampanelli. The hysterical Lisa Lampanelli in studio.
Thank you, Adam Carolla. It was good to see you, my friend.
Good to see you, my friend, as well. I was horribly impressed by Lisa Lampanelli when I did the Pam Anderson roast with her because when you see those things on TV, they whack them up. Everyone ends up doing about 2.5 or 3 minutes, depending on how funny they are. Sometimes they get cut out altogether, which is always very sad.
That's horrible.
Nothing worse. It's not like they tell you in advance either. You know,
right.
you and 18 comedians do your thing, and now they're going to have the, you know, it's the highest rated show that Comedy Central has. So they do the thing, and you invite your friends over, and you all sit down. This is going to be great. Oh, no, I'm right after Eddie Griffin. I'm right, what the hell happened to me? They could cut you out altogether.
Well, it turned out Eddie Griffin wasn't on after Eddie Griffin, if you know what I'm talking about.
Eddie Griffin did. Eddie Griffin.
73 minutes, I
70,
think.
73. I rounded up to 75. I had to take a leak at minute 3 of his act. He ran it into... Eddie Griffin literally did 75 minutes, and it translated into a minute and 23 seconds when he saw the final.
I think even less, to be honest with you, Adam. Here's the deal. What happened was they are very reticent to flash, you know, the signal to get off the stage to a celebrity.
Right.
So they never flash during those roasts because most of the comics are just celebrities. Eddie Griffin was getting the stop, get off now, and it was so embarrassing.
He didn't get the flashlight shined at him. He got hit with a flashlight. They actually threw a mag light at him.
It was really embarrassing, but I liked watching that.
Well, here's what ends up happening with all these roasts is the comedians figure, look, if Eddie Griffin is doing 72 minutes, then I'm going to do 82 minutes.
Oh,
that's number one. Number two, they all know they can go as long as they want. Either way, it'll get cut down into the funniest 3 minutes. So they figure, well, let them decide between my funniest 110 minutes rather than my funniest 20 minutes. So everyone just goes incredibly long. You're always drinking.
Right.
And so you always have to take a leak, and you're up there on stage for 4 hours at a time, and it gets brutal.
Oh, and the audience is always totally tired because they cut it down to an hour for TV or an hour and a half, but then it's like 4 hours.
It's four
so
hours.
So the audience is hating life, and they're stuck in this awful place.
Right. And by the time you get up there, you get to just stand up at the podium and watch Paris Hilton make a phone call. She just talks on her cell phone.
And they're always nice enough to make me go last because I'm abroad and I'm funny, and none of those pussy guys wants to follow me. So I'm like, you know, I got to go up there with 12 pages of notes, crossing off stuff, going, oh, he said this already, that jerk said this, and then you end up with 5.
Right. And the problem is you have to eliminate every joke that you have. I mean, let's face it, when you're roasting Pam Anderson, there's only so many Tommy Lee Big Johnson jokes that the audience is going to absorb before they get filled up with Tommy Lee's huge Johnson.
That was hot.
Yeah. Well, I'm horny. My point is you have to get rid of a lot of your stuff because Jay Moore did it an hour and a half ago, and by the time you get up there, you have nothing left, as Lisa said, except for, ironically, all their stuff gets cut out.
Yeah.
You don't know what's going to make the cut.
Right.
It's a horrible experience. Lisa is fantastic at it, though. I was laughing my ass off.
Thanks, dude. That meant a lot to me that you liked me, because you know what I mean? I like when, like, real comics like me. You know, when open micers come up to you and they're like, that was great. You're like, loser with a dream, die of cancer. Who cares? But you, Adam Carolla, are one of my heroes.
Thank you. I must tell you.
Could somebody do a fake applause break at least for that?
Thank you.
Jeez.
Please.
That producer's very lax in his job.
Come on.
Play a little Ass Kiss Rodeo music is what we should play. Kiss.
Listen, you guys don't know. I've been through a lot with comics. So when somebody's actually nice to you, it's good.
Yeah, it's comics are ironically amongst the meanest people on the planet,
I would say.
And have the least sense of humor about what they do.
Right.
Which is interesting. Your average guy who's in condo sales has a better sense of humor about what he does, about himself, and has a thicker skin than the average insult comic.
Nothing more courageous than standing up on that stage
alone. You go
alone
up there alone. And I'll tell you, the hardest thing to do.
It's
the hardest
thing to do. Taking that audience on a journey. But when it's
the hardest thing to do. It's the
hardest. It's the most rewarding thing.
Brain surgery, not as hard.
No, we save lives.
You save lives.
Some broad emailed me. She hadn't laughed this hard because she had put her dog to sleep. And I said, that was hilarious that she had to put her dog to sleep. Personally, I don't care. F your dog. That's what I say, lady. But it's nice. We do this for the love, don't we, Adam?
I'll tell you, and I'll tell you this, we're providing a service, because when you can make somebody laugh, that's better than curing cancer. It really is. If you can bring just a little laughter to somebody's life.
Makes all the blood, sweat, and tears worthwhile.
Again, did I mention it's the most difficult thing to do?
It is.
That thing, that serious acting business, it's nothing. Comedy's the hardest.
Absolutely. Dead kid on Law and Order, who cares?
Yeah. Anybody can fake cry. But
easy.
How about I make you fake laugh?
I'll tell you what's not easy.
You know what I mean? Thank you. There she goes.
No, it's a legitimate laugh.
Thank you, baby doll. Lisa Lampanelli is going to be starring or co-starring in a label. Larry the Cable Guy, the health inspector. I just saw a commercial for this. The blue-collar comedy, we all turn our noses in the blue states up at the blue-collar comedy. Ironically, because we're hipsters.
Don't you love that they have to judge everybody? It's not cool enough. Bull, man. If a guy's pulling in that kind of dough one night, you got to respect him. You know what I'm talking about?
We want to go with our buddies over to Luna Park and sit between Sarah Silverman and Margaret Cho and open a three-leaf binder and read our comedy from the stage. Meanwhile, these guys are doing... And I love them.
Yeah, me too.
I love them all dearly. But meanwhile, these guys are laughing all the way to the bank while we're turning our nose up at the blue-collar comedy. It's like the biggest show Comedy Central has. Everyone's doing their own movies.
Well, everybody does that. I mean, it's like the higher the brow, the lower the budget. You know what I'm talking about? Sit at Luna and spank your meat for 10 minutes to no laughs and enjoy your lack of a dough and a drink coupon. But be a blue-collar guy. You're making the dough. You're having fun. You're getting love. Who cares?
I know.
And no wonder you're in a movie with them. It seems like a match made in heaven.
Well, I'm an edgy comic, but I'm not Italian. And don't worry, it ain't a porn. That'd be funny. Every time I tell people me and Larry are in a movie together, like, ugh, I hope it's not a porn. Yeah, it'd be called Get Her Hard. We just lay around in a field and moo at each other. Don't you give me that rim shot, because I came in here to be funny, you little douche. And there's no way I'm sitting here doing all what? You can't say that on the air?
I don't think you can.
Really? Yeah. It's so funny. Different radio stations have different rules.
Yes,
you
yes.
usually can say the C word. You just can't say the N word.
Yeah, I know. It's ironic.
Isn't it?
Yeah, we use the C word all the time.
I love the C word. I think it's sexy.
We got the C word to sponsor the news last break. You should have been here.
Right. I think it's a sexy word. Rachel, what about you? You like that word?
Yes.
See, isn't she cool? I like it when a guy calls me that and hits me in the thing with a shovel.
She thinks stands for Canada, though. We need to take a break. I do want to say this. We brought up Sarah Silverman, the dear Sarah Silverman. I saw her do the independent film, whatever,
the Spirit Awards.
I TiVo'd it and just watched it the other night. She was excellent.
Well, she's always a funny broad. No, you're right about that. She's a funny broad. And there's like three women comics who I'd pay to watch, and that's one bitch I would watch.
You?
And then,
all right, there's her.
Me.
You looking in a mirror,
paying myself to watch. And Kathy Griffin.
Oh, yeah.
She makes me laugh. She's a funny broad.
Lisa Lampanelli in studio. We'll take a quick break. She's going to rate us, and we'll play a few games with her, all that after this.
Hi, this is Sarah Silverman. I love Adam. I love Adam Carolla. I'm glad you're listening to him. You're doing the right thing.
The beautiful aforementioned Sarah Silverman. Hysterical doing those People's Choice Awards. Independent Spirit Awards, yeah. A lot of F-bombs being dropped in that Democratic crowd, by the way. An enjoyable show. I'll tell you, I watched the whole thing. Normally, those award shows are just... they just feel like pulling teeth. It feels like someone's putting a pipe cleaner up my urethra. But... this was enjoyable, fast-paced, fun. Other award shows ought to take a page from the Spirit Awards.
I'm sure Jimmy Kimmel will appreciate that, former host of American Music Awards.
Well, as you know, I'm a former host of the Billboard Awards. Yes, me and Kathy Griffin. So I'll give that same note to myself. Lisa Lampanelli in studio.
Adam.
One of the three women I would pay to see.
Oh, you too?
Not nude, but I would pay to see.
Yeah, don't pay for that. That's scary, man.
No, I'd need a little rebate on that.
Oh,
you have to
honey.
Kick something down to me on that. But I would definitely then take the money you paid me to show you your naked ass. I would give it back to you and say, do some jokes, sweetie.
See that? We all have our strengths.
Put on a bathrobe and do some jokes.
See, that's why I don't understand why a beautiful girl would choose to be a comic. I don't get it. If I looked like that, I would swear to God, I would just use the casting couch. I would do what I got to do. Why do they have to develop talent and humor?
I'm trying to, I completely agree.
Yeah, it's weird.
I am trying to think of, you know, Sarah Silverman, obviously a beautiful woman.
Gorgeous.
I wonder if there's anybody who's even close in the looks department who's that funny.
No, there's not. I mean, she's like the only hot woman comic physically working today. And maybe ever. Lucille Ball was a good-looking broad, but she was still goofy. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But, and also, I'm not sure if, you know, how great she would be if she was just writing her own material and doing stand-up.
That's true, too. Yeah, no, I think it's Sarah. That's it. I don't see why she was that motivated.
No disrespect to the great Lucille Ball,
she's
but
dead.
That
she
bitch
can't
sucked.
Hear us.
Yeah.
Oh, she's
she sucked.
Awful. Die
yeah.
again
Wish,
twice.
Yeah. Would have been nice if she went earlier, yeah.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah. No, I agree.
But that's what I always say. When I see pretty girls in the audience, I'm always shocked that they're, like, not whores and that they actually have degrees. Because if I would have taken the easy road, I'll be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, hey, God bless, you know? Develop yourself.
Well, that's what I love about James Bond when I see Denise Richards as the foremost forensic Soviet ballistic scientist.
Yeah,
by the way, just because you put glasses on someone doesn't make them smart. They always do that, and they just look like porns. They look like teachers in porn movies.
Oh yeah, yeah. Right.
Oh, I see glasses.
Glasses and a ponytail.
Better yet, the tan guy with the thong back, tan line, and the shaved nut sack who's supposed to be playing the professor. That guy's even harder. Even a bigger stretch is that guy. You know, people always talking about the women. What about the guy? Whole body shaved, nipple piercing. Tan scrotum, and he's supposed to play the nuclear physicist because he's got the glasses and the dorky hair part.
I just keep focusing on the scrotum because is the nutsack, I'm sorry, Adam, but is that the worst thing you've ever seen? Rachel, be honest. You don't enjoy the nutsack, do you?
You know, the thing I always love about the nutsack is how, if you sit there and you look at it for a while, it moves.
Yeah, it is like fluid. It is fluid.
It's like...
But I just don't know any broad who really likes it. Like, it looks like that thing on a guy's desk that he uses to relax. It's disgusting. You know what I mean?
You know what I love about the nutsack is there's no difference between Brad Pitt's nutsack and Ernest Borgnine's nutsack.
That's a very good point.
They're just as ugly. If you cut a hole in a piece of plywood and you ask Brad Pitt, which we will do later in the show, and Ernest Borgnine to come on by, just go ahead and thread your nutsack. Don't ask questions, Ernest. Just drop your trousers and do it, please.
Right.
Put them all through there. We would not know whose was whose or which was better looking or which was ugly. It evens everything out.
It is the great equalizer. They all look like that turkey gobbler neck thing. That thing is disgusting, man.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Even gay dudes don't like that.
Yeah. Gustavo?
Good morning.
Thank you. You want to have sex with Lisa Lampanelli?
Who is this?
Lisa, good morning. How are you? My name is Gustavo. I'm actually Latino.
Oh, I love that.
I know you do. And you know what? My wife, she gives me one freebie a year.
Really?
And I told her if I got the opportunity, it would be with Lisa Lampanelli.
I cannot believe this is true. You would throw away your
Prove
one
it.
Freebie on LL?
Prove it.
Of course. Absolutely.
Do you like
you are the bomb.
Do you like the big ass, dude?
I love it all.
See? The Hispanics like the big ass. They think it's a pinata. They hit the freaking thing. I'm telling you, they enjoy that very much. Well, Gustavo, leave your number because I'm looking to jump ship off the blacks lately.
That's not a Tootsie Roll coming out of that pinata, by the way.
It's caramels.
Also, Lisa, 3 months ago I had a little baby. So you know what that is, right?
No, what?
Well, he's a little Latin baby.
Yeah, I know. I can't really say that word on the air. I got in trouble for the C word before, so don't get me in trouble. So I'm banned off the Adam Carolla show, you dope.
So, Gustavo.
Hispanics want us to be as unemployed as they are.
Go
ahead, Papi Joe.
What do you mean unemployed? I got five of them working at my house right now. How dare you?
How dare I?
Gustavo, you would make time with Lisa Lampanelli.
Oh, I love Lisa.
My
wife loves Lisa.
Really?
Wow, three-way.
That'd be cool. Do you have a Hispanic wife, dude?
No, she's white.
Really? Wow, what nationality, dude?
Actually, you know what? She's from California, but she is French-Canadian and Cherokee Indian.
Oh, my God, the Indians. Can I tell you something? I got asked about by a guy who was half black, half Indian, Adam. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to lie to you. I cannot have sex with a guy who's half black, half Native American, because a double oppressed minority is very hard to satisfy.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Because I've always felt that the white women owe the black men the oral sex to say, I'm sorry for slavery.
Yeah.
But this guy, oh, my God, I have to do him one way for slavery, the other for the land. I'm only one person, Adam. Carolla. Lisa Lampanelli's a busy broad with a big career. How dare he?
Now this Gustavo, though, sight unseen, you'll lay down with him.
No, he knows me. He knows me from Comedy Central.
Right, he admires you, but I'm saying you're happy to bed down with him.
No. I'd have to get a picture and possibly the AIDS test.
Mm-hmm. No, you got it.
All right,
picture,
man.
Picture a Latin Elvis.
Oh.
Which Elvis?
Yeah, fat Elvis or thin Elvis, dude?
No, thin Elvis.
All right. You know, email me at my website, insultcomic.com. If you can't spell that, you're too stupid for me, Hispanic. All right, papi chulo, coño.
You're awesome. Okay, mommy, I love you.
Adios, papi.
All right.
See
you. We need to take a break. Lisa Lampanelli in studio. She's going to hang out with us. We'll be doing the news. We'll be doing the sports. Lisa will be chiming in on that. And we'll be right back after this.
It's the Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam Carolla now at 866-901-ADAM.
Mm-hmm. Lisa Lampanelli. In studio.
Party.
Can I say this quickly? I just want to send out an apology in case DJ Quick, who was in a little while ago, is still listening. He was saying his goodbyes. Mm-hmm. And he was giving everybody a handshake. And
still
then he,
going on about this?
He went to give me the handshake. He tried to give me the nice shake, the up high one, the soul shake like that, and then wrapped the other arm around me and hugged me kind of thing. He went that. But then he, like, at the last second tried to give me, like, the regular handshake, and I was still going for that. And we had messed it up, and then we ended up, like, grabbing fingers, and I couldn't be more ashamed.
Wow. Yeah. I feel really uncomfortable about this, don't you?
I feel like I'm a square now, and DJ Quick knows it.
Yeah.
Dang.
It's going to spread like wildfire through the rap community. Did you hear? Dave Damashek.
Ain't down.
They're never going to say square. They're going to do the square thing with their fingers.
I'm ashamed.
Well, that's the whole thing. He gave me the white guy handshake. Unclear whether that's an act of respect or they're just saying, screw you, we're never going to see you again, or whatever it is. I don't like to do the grasp and then the lean in and hug because I'm scared they're going to get at my wallet. So
I like to steal.
That with no disrespect.
No.
No disrespect there, but I like to keep my distance, you know, from those people.
Well, that's what I was watching. He did it with you, and then I watched him with Lynch and Brusky. He gave a normal handshake. But then he went into me at the last second. He went upstairs because he saw something. He knew what I was about. And then I still had the regular hand extend. And then we got confused, and then it was just like the fingertip shake. And it was embarrassing.
He didn't even shake my hand.
Oh, he didn't?
No.
Oh, boy.
He would have got crap for that in the hood, apparently.
He gave me the white girl ass grab, which was hot.
Oh, really?
Oh, absolutely.
Something's obviously wrong with me.
You're too skinny for them, man. They like the big bitches.
Too skinny to shake my hand?
Well, these blacks, they judge. I'm going to tell you. I think they're big shots.
It's sort of the equivalent, which you got, Dave, to the making out where you click teeth.
Oh.
You ever do that? You go to kiss and bang on the chompers. I got big chompers. It probably happens to me more often than not. But that is sad. Especially whenever you have to stop and address anything when you're being intimate. Someone breaks wind.
Oh.
You got to stop and say something. Or there's one of those other noises that comes from that area that sounds a lot like the breaking of the wind or the clanking of the teeth. Always unclear whether you stop and comment.
Or laugh.
Well, that's
laugh.
What I also am ashamed that I didn't say, I'm sorry about that handshake. Let's try it again. I wish I would have done it again.
Yeah. You know, there should be a black version of the handshake mulligan.
Yes.
Give the whitey the takey on that. Give me my mulligan.
Because if you look down at it, then you're already square. Like, you have to just make eye contact and understand that we're going for the soul. Damn it.
All right.
I'm thrown off.
All right. Sorry, Dave. Please let it be your own quiet hell. That's all I'm saying.
It ruined his day now.
Ruined your day.
All right. Lampanelli?
Yeah, buddy.
I'd like you to, I know you're the queen of the roast, Larry the Cable Guy, health inspector, which is coming out on March 24th. She'll be co-starring in. Beautiful love scene. I've already seen it. If you could rate the guys, not roast, but if you'd like to roast along the way, that would be fine. But every time we have a woman in here, we ask them to sort of rate the guys physically.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Or who would you like to date the most, or who is the most attractive?
Not date.
No, it's attractive.
Bang? Okay.
Hump. Yeah, it's hump.
Okay, Adam Carolla would be the most humpable because power is attractive to
that's
a broad.
Right.
You run the show. You're obviously the brains behind it. You're the personality, the humor. You're the man. So,
of course,
you'd be the one that we'd get moist over.
Thank you.
I got to be honest with you.
Thank you.
I do enjoy the Jewish-looking guy over there. Over
is
here.
That Mike?
Mike, are you a Jew?
No, I'm not.
Really? See, we both have that Jew nose.
Yeah, I got
I don't,
that.
What are you, Italian?
Irish-Italian.
Oh, Irish-Italian.
Don't let the beak and the low self-esteem fool you. And the rolled shoulders.
He's not cute, too. He's a little bit where you'd go, oh, you know, maybe he'll carry my books for me. Like, he's more like the studious, nice guy who won't. But, you know, you guys who look nice, still waters run deep. I bet it gets rough. Do you tie bitches up and everything?
Sometimes.
See that? See? It happens.
Mike is so happy that he's moved. This is the highest he's ever been on the list.
Well, they're not really a ranking yet, because they're all... He's rough trade. Now, that one is rough trade. That was the gays call rough trade. Where they just are nasty and dangerous, and he has so much anger inside him. You could tell, you know, I love that because he's very negative. And he'll be like, oh, yeah, bitch. Oh, yeah. And he'll black it up for you in the sack. You didn't have to do it with DJ Quick. You could do it with a bitch in bed. You know what I'm saying? And he has his flannel shirt, and he can rip that open. That's hot.
Come over here and punch Lisa.
Please. I would enjoy it very much. And the other guy I'm not so sure of.
Jimmy Brasca.
He's a little creepy. I got to tell you, Shruti. He's a show us on the doll where he touched you. Kind of guy.
Wow.
I'm really not sure what's going on there. He's a little quiet, a little studious.
Yeah. No, he's creepy.
Serial killer-ish, maybe.
I agree.
Jimmy's giving her the eyes of death
now. But that was
AdamCarolla.com and you can look at all these people, and that description fits Brusca's picture perfectly.
Really? I did see it last night. It is a little creepy. But you're a nice person in real life.
Mm.
Are you married?
Yes.
Really? To a normal broad?
Jimmy's
a very, very normal broad.
Oh, that's
I'm embarrassed.
Cool.
I'm tongue-tied.
Don't be embarrassed. You're a nice guy. They put me on the spot over here.
In this ranking, I'm last?
No, there's no ranking. Adam is the clear winner.
Thank you.
The chocolate daddy intern is next because he's the black, and I enjoy the chocolate love.
Sure.
And the rest of you three are on a very nice little tier together.
Shuddy!
I'm not better than these two!
Let me tell you something right now. Rachel is above all he is.
Thank you. I swear
to God, she's the best I could do in here. I swear, I'm jumping ship and doing you, Rachel. I swear to God.
Thank you.
I've had it with this flagellation.
But he's so sexy.
Really?
Oh, love him.
Wow.
Love you. Oh.
The GF?
Yeah.
GFFs. Wow. I love those people.
They are the best.
Yeah, I'd like to see you and Rachel get it on. I'd put an eye patch on and watch that video.
That would be horrifying, wouldn't it? Oh, my God, this poor girl. You could do a lot better than me. And let me tell you something. You know the best I could get? Adam, did you know this? That after the roast, that crazy bitch Courtney Love kissed me on the lips, dude?
Really?
Ugh, I was horrible. I was high for 5 freaking days. Listen, what happened, Adam? Adam, I'm not going to lie to you.
Please don't.
Okay, she was all whacked out on something. I don't know about the drugs or any of that.
Courtney Love was out of her mind. I sat next to her in the makeup chair
half hour
before the roast. This was the Pam Anderson roast some months back for Comedy Central, and she was out of her
being. Oh, my God. She comes into the makeup room, dude, and she's like, make me look like Marilyn Monroe.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dude, this guy doesn't have enough stuff in his box to make you look like Marilyn looks today.
Yes.
Much less at her prime. That bitch was rode hard and put back wet. I'm sorry, man.
She was a disaster.
Oh, horrible.
She was all over the road, but you did make out with her.
No, I didn't make out with her. She grabbed me and kissed me on the lips. Now, nothing wrong with a lesbo encounter, but I always figured if I had one, I'd be the ugly one.
Right.
I mean, come on, man. I could do better.
True,
I'm sorry.
That's where the smart money was, but once in a while, the dark horse comes in. And that's why you play the game, gentlemen. That's why you play the lesbian encounter game.
Which would you rather? Would you rather make out with Courtney Love again or have to make out with Brusca?
Brusca. Definitely. Definitely. At least he wouldn't taste like crack and cheap hooker, okay? You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
A little creepy, but that's hot sometimes.
It just tastes like Asti Spumante Pimento Love.
Oh,
yes.
God.
Brusca, this whole thing has been a very rude awakening for you, has it not?
See, Sophie Monk, who
picked me first, who was probably the hottest woman we've had in here.
See, that's the one you go with. No, you go with that.
She
you
was
go
the hottest
with that. You go who asked you to dance. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That's a beautiful thing.
But let me tell you something. What happened? I believe that was an anomaly. The Sophie Monk thing. She picked whoever was closest to her. She clearly wanted to get out of here and had no interest.
Okay.
I'm just saying. You know what you get. Sadly, is women, they walk around and they're more they're almost members of the canine world, and that they pick up the vibe and the scent of somebody. It's not just all about the physicality. And obviously, Brasca, you're putting something off that's freaking the ladies out.
How did I freak you out? I was very nice to you.
Nice.
I introduced
you're
myself.
You're a little negative off the air, I got to tell you.
What do you mean?
I freaking hate you. I swear to God.
You. What do you mean?
He's an a-hole. I don't like him.
All right.
I'm kidding, dude. I love how he takes it all personally. Right. Dude, I'm just joking around.
Brasca, so nice to you.
No, I'm kidding with you.
All right. If you kill yourself, do it on the air. It'll be good radio.
Perfect.
All right. Let's do some news and some sports, shall we? Lisa, you hang in. You chime in whenever
Thanks, buddy.
You like. It is now time for the beautiful Rachel Perry and the news.
So prosecutors in the Zacharias Moussaoui trial are struggling to save their... What are you looking at me for? I can't pronounce the name right.
Well, I
listen to it on the news.
Zacharias Moussaoui.
But they pronounce it different. Every time I hear someone else pronounce it on another news, then they say it some other different weird way. Anyway, the prosecutors are struggling to save their bid to execute the Al-Qaeda conspirator after it came to light that they coached witnesses. Peter Tomarkin, of course, I probably said that
Peter
name.
Peter Tomarkin.
Tomarkin, thank you.
Yes.
The host of the popular TV game show Press Your Luck died yesterday as his small plane went down in the Santa Monica Bay.
I don't want to correct you, but it's pre-Sirlock. It's pronounced pre-Sirlock. It's not press. It's not press your luck.
As I mentioned.
I'm sorry. I don't want to correct you on everything, but
as I mentioned before.
I'm sorry. I'm a little dehydrated right now, and I just feel like such a retard.
It's pre-Sirlock. Sorry.
It was the long-standing feud between Tomarkin and the Whammy. Finally has its winner.
The Whammy. Yeah.
The whammy
had the last laugh.
No way.
He crashed right here in the Santa Monica Bay. The plane was intact, which is bizarre because normally those things just break up, like the aforementioned pinata. And yet the plane was intact. They must have drowned. I don't know what the story was. It was right off the beach, too. They dragged it right in.
So weird. I remember hearing about the plane crash yesterday, and then all of a sudden it's like, this guy was there? And I can't quite tell from all of the information sources if he was flying the plane. It seems to me that
he was flying the plane. Okay.
It's crazy.
But Adam, is the worst thing you hear, popular game show host killed, and you're going, oh my God, I hope it's not Chuck Willery. I hope it's not Ben Stein.
Right.
And you hear it's this guy, and you go, so what? Is that wrong?
Yes.
You understand, though?
But no, I know what you're like. They say, here's the rule. When they say popular, if it was Chuck Willery, they would have said it. If it was Ben Stein, they would have said it. Because it's a guy whose name we can't pronounce, they don't say it.
Good point.
Although Sheck turns out to be a pretty big fan.
Well, let me tell you something. Well, I love the show, but let me tell you something. Now that I think about it, the game show host racket is a tough one. You know, if you go into this, you got Tomarkin went down. The, what's his name?
Ray Combs.
Oh. Ray Combs. He took himself out. Yeah, Barker with the you know, sexual allegations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, you have Wink Martindale, who didn't do anything wrong, but his name's Wink.
Right.
I mean, it's not a good business to go into.
Yeah. No.
Louis Anderson also with the sex scandal.
Horrible.
Too.
Yeah. No, it's one of the most dangerous jobs in America. It's right up there with high-rise steel worker.
Howie Mandel better watch his back.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Press your luck. What's his deal or
deal
no deal?
Deal or no deal.
Watch out, Mandel. I loved that show. That was when I got sick from school, like stay at home from school day. That was my favorite thing to watch.
No whammies, no whammies.
So bummed when they canceled that show, and also Greatest American Hero. I will forever be sad about that.
Yes.
And also Isaac Hayes is leaving South Park because he's a Scientologist.
Oh, really?
What? Well, he's PO'd because he thinks that the show is increasingly insensitive to religious groups, and they just recently did a show about Scientology, and he's an outspoken Scientologist. So,
Scientologist.
That's it.
Really?
But that's hypocritical, isn't it? Because they do N-word jokes, they do black jokes on the whole thing, and yet he's quitting over Scientology. He's a hypocritical black who hates himself. Case closed by Lisa Wampanoag.
I agree.
Welcome Back, Kotter is being remade into a movie, and Ice Cube is going to be Mr. Kotter.
Ugh. Ridiculous.
Awful.
Don't call it Welcome Back, Kotter.
Yeah.
Connor is not a nerdy Jew.
Right. Maybe.
Who's intimidated by the sweat hog.
Works better.
All right.
And horrible.
It'd be funny if they had the balls to do that.
Oh, that'd be so
welcome
cool.
Back, N-word.
But put the A-H on the end.
Yes. Write that down, Brusca. To kick it out of the cell hall. Alright.
Extra is reporting that Ryan Seacrest is dating Terry Hatcher.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Can you believe this?
I thought he was a pocketbook swinger.
Didn't you think he was a shirtlifter? Adam,
yeah.
Seriously.
Well, I got to tell you, I was at a party about 10 years ago, and he was there, and he was just a DJ at the time, or just doing morning radio, and he was trying to pick up on a chick.
Mm.
So it gave me a little insight to where he was at. So I agree. I think he gets a certain amount of mileage out of it. There's certain guys who sort of enjoy that press.
Ah. Yeah, because he is mentioned constantly on the late night shows about being a cornholer.
He is worked into the monologue of just about every late night talk show host on a weekly basis, yet he gets to, you know, bed down with the ladies. I say it's having your cake and eating it too.
That's a good point, Adam. Something to think about.
Well, I'm gonna. The more you know. Thank you.
Weird news story that I just found about apparently a 3-year-old boy shot his mother with a gun that he found in a couch.
Definitely not just a Jew.
Leave a gun around your couch.
Right.
I don't know. And finally, do you watch the? Do you ever seen the show?
Did she die? Oh.
Shot her in the knee.
No.
He was playing with a gun that he found under a couch cushion.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, oh no! Took it away. Took the bullets out. Put the gun back.
Oh, right into the couch cushion.
Yeah,
smart.
Yeah. Didn't take the bullet out of the chamber.
Yeah.
Picked it up again, and he shot her.
Somebody needs to work out the whole chambered round thing, because there's the clip, and then there's the one that's going to go between your eyeballs and crack your skull and come out of the back of your head.
Mm.
That's the one they always miss. Everyone always pulls the clip out. No, there's no bullets in here. No bullets except for the one that's next in line and going through your head.
Right.
They need to work that out somehow. I'm no gunsmith, but doesn't it seem like that's the one that always seems to get everybody? Work it out, gunsmiths. Thank you.
And just
the more you know.
Interestingly,
the
police say that it appears to be accidental.
That kid's an underachiever.
Oh, you know you don't think he had, like, there wasn't a hit put out on his mom's kneecap?
Appears
to be accidental.
Yeah, appears. Anyway, I'm Rachel Perry, and that's the news for now.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one sports. Do it, Dave.
I would, I hate to take us back to news, but I would argue that when you're at the stage in life where you're still making a BM in your pants, everything is accidental. Because until you can clear that up, everything's an accident. You're still making in your underoos, everything's accidental. Whatever that age, you stop crapping yourself. And then as you get older and begin crapping yourself again, it goes back to accidental.
Yep.
Because if you can't control that, what can you control in life?
So if you ever get caught doing something that you shouldn't have been, just
immediately
take a crap. And
even when I get pulled over. Sir, do you realize you're going 40 and a 30?
That's always been my excuse.
There you go, officer. Here, let me put a little something on that. There you go. Now, who's the felon?
I'd always heard that that's the thing you're supposed to do, is say, okay, if a cop pulls you over, just make that excuse.
Oh.
I did it once. I got pulled over a couple of years ago, and I said, I'm sorry, my stomach is very upset. I have diarrhea. I'm rushing home right now. They still had me sit there and write up the ticket.
That's evil.
Well, I was lying, which is also immoral.
How have you gotten that, Rachel? Have you ever, like, just cried or something? Because chicks use all those weapons. I've been pulled over once, and I just got really upset, but I was going, like, over, like, I think I was doubled the speed limit at the time. So
he let you go because you're hot?
He just knocked it down to, like, the highest fine he could give me without taking away my license.
Huh.
She piped.
But I didn't poo in my pants.
Lisa, you never got that courtesy extended to you.
Absolutely not. I cry. I got let off once by a lesbian cop, yeah, you know, because I'm kind of dykey. Right. So it was like, okay, go ahead.
Sister. She gave you the handshake and sent you on your way.
See you, professor.
All right, where were we?
Brusk is giving me the stink eye. We're hurry up.
It's not Dave's fault, but let's get this going.
All right, but stop weirding everyone out in the studio. Freaking the guest out.
All right, I'll keep my comments brief. The L.A. Clippers, they're shaping up for the playoffs as we speak. They whipped the T-Wolves last night here in L.A. Chris came and, as I mentioned earlier, had a huge game, 24 points and 23 rebounds. This in spite of that ridiculous head of hair that he wears. Blonde mullet, bald head on top.
Yeah.
Egad, sir.
Yeah, he looks like Nick Knack from the hell's that? Oh, Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what he looks like.
Yes, but it seems like a decent fella. I'm just trying to give him a tip. Cut the hair, fella. Yes. Now, great news from the NHL last night. San Jose Sharks were winners thanks to a hat trick from the greatest name in all of sports, Jonathan Chichu.
Chichu.
Well, there's one rival he has, the pitcher for the Cardinals, Kiko Calero. Can you beat that name? I don't know. This World Baseball Classic, not going well for the U.S. They lost here in Anaheim, or down in Anaheim, last night to Korea. 7-3, they beat us. This is a national embarrassment.
Where's your pride, people?
This is our sport.
That's right.
I don't like it.
We invented it. That's right.
If I'm a little off my game. It's because I've been working on my brackets, you know, as is everybody. I've got about 73 pools I got to fill out by Thursday morning. The NCAA tournament starts day after tomorrow. Tomorrow I'm going to have an all-star panel in here to talk about, to make their picks. I'm tired of listening to Digger and Dick Vitale and these creeps. You know, it's time for my group, for my people to speak, and I'll also give my own picks, you know. And I, of course, went 11-0 in the NFL playoffs, so they believe me. Anyway, should not fall on deaf ears. But one more thing, because Brusca wants me to hurry up. I'll save my speech for later. But John Chaney, Temple coach, legend, class act, wonderful man, shaper of young minds, is retired. Here's his brightest moment in my book when he went into the press conference of his arch rival, John Calipari, after a game. There he is. Wow. That's Bill Cosby. He's been one of the Cos's best friends. I'll kill you!
Probably best not to yell, I'll kill you, when there's nothing but microphones in
you
the room.
You hear me? I'm going to kill you!
All right, easy now. You're scaring
it's
me.
Like John, I think John Wooden did that.
He used to throw his glasses at people and then try to strangle him with his clip-on tie.
Dave Dameshek's number one sports.
Well, the deaf frat guy is going to be checking in from spring break. I think he's over at Lake Havasu on a houseboat. We'll talk to him in a second. I want to thank Lisa Lampanelli for coming in and being a great sport.
Thank you, Adam. I love you guys. You rock.
Let me plug you as no man has plugged you in years. Take It Like a Man, name of the CD and the DVD, available now. Also, look for Lisa coming out March 24th in the Larry the Cable Guy, Alvin Specter movie. Good times there, Lisa. Come back anytime you like.
Thanks, dude. You guys rock. And you're not that creepy, dude. Yeah, you are.
The damage is already done. Well, it's you think it's tough on Brusca. How about his poor wife who has to hear it over and over again on the radio that she married the creepiest guy in North America?
Wait, let's stop there. This is the first person, the first guest who said I was creepy. No. I may not have been the best.
But Adam agreed heartily.
Yeah, you're weirding me out, dude. Come on. Just look down. Why do you have to look at me when you're talking?
I think you're a little weird, too.
Right. That shirt ain't helping matters.
Oh, yeah. All right, I'm going bowling it.
Let's take a break.
Or now, 866-901-80AM.
866-901-ADAM. We, those of you who are fans of the show, must be fans of Def Rat Guy. His name's Jason, but he goes by Maverick. That's his handle over at the Teak House, 50-year senior. Over at USC, communications major. He's off for spring break, as many of the college kids are. We decided to make him our correspondent. Now, how do you talk to a deaf guy over the phone? Well, the station here ponied up, and we got him something called a TDD. It's a telecommunications device for the deaf. We sent it along with him to Lake Havasu. I think he said he was going to Havasu. Maverick?
What's up, bro?
What's happening, Maverick? You guys are at you guys in your fraternity are over at the Teak House. You went to Lake Havasu this year?
Negative, bro.
Well, where'd you go?
We were going to go to Havasu, but we totally rallied and hauled ass to Cabo.
Wow.
To Rage. Me, Moose, Mike F., Pucci, and Smitty.
Well, Mike F.'s there, too. That's awesome.
Dude, I'm a fifth-year senior, and it's like Cabo is the Rolls Royce of spring breaks.
Right.
And we're in this company that's really classy, and they've got 18 hours of free drinks.
Mm-hmm.
They give you free rubbers and barf bags. It's all really classy.
Wow, sounds like a great operation. Yeah, 5-star. And you guys are it's off the hook over there. You guys have been partying pretty hard for the last few days.
The spring break is over, but I'm saying this might be my last spring break.
Right. So you gotta make hay while the sun shines.
What about the girls? You've been picking up at all down there?
Well, I hooked up with a girl, but she had really bad sunburn.
Right, so you gotta be careful.
But I saw a really beautiful girl at the Giggling Marlin, mm-hmm. and it was like total love at first sight. I saw her riding an ATV. I bought her a shot, and then I found out she was impaled like me. We were signing together.
Wow.
It was like total love at first sight, but then Moose told me he saw her at the beach, and she had a little junk in the trunk. And if I liked her, I was a homo.
Oh, well, that Moose is one to talk. He's the one who got Wood watching the figure skating a few weeks back, right?
Dude, that guy gets Wood if he sees a dog humping couch.
I hope he's not listening. So, bro, yeah.
Pucci totally styled us. He gets us in everywhere because people think he's Derek Jeter.
Oh, that's right.
He hooked up like 6 times. All he has to do is wear a Yankee hat.
Yeah. He said he was short, though, didn't you, last time?
He's like 5'3".
People think Jeter's... He's a short Jeter, but still, it seems like people wouldn't think that Jeter would be hanging around with those frat guys in Cabo. But anyway, it's getting you into the clubs, right?
You have to understand, people are sometimes really wasted down there.
Mm.
But we were pretty mellow. I mean, we didn't start doing shots some days till noon.
Are you drunk right now?
I'm pretty hungover right now, and I should probably be quiet because Mike F., Pucci, and Moose are sleeping in the other room.
Oh, they're crashed, yeah.
But I have to talk to you because this spring, dude, I didn't have a job on the spring formal.
Right. Do you now, did any of the girls from SC come down there, like Ashley or anything? Any of the girls you had a crush on?
Dude, the whole Trinell house, I'm like, what are you thinking? They went down to rebuild New Orleans. I'm like, negative. I'm like, this is not my last spring break.
Right.
I'm like, have fun.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's important to prioritize.
It's my last spring break.
No, I understand. I mean, look, you can still go out and do something this time of year, you know, even if you're entering the working world. And I know that's part of the reason we're talking to you. We want to have you here. You want to be part of the morning show team. We tried you doing the weather. We tried you doing the traffic and the horoscope. I think we'll have you in and see if you catch on over here.
I mean, I thought the point of this was that he's sort of going to be filing reports from spring break.
Yeah. Yeah, he is. He is. And you're right, Dave Damashek, number one sports guy. You're going to be checking in with us all week during spring break. But then once you come back stateside, if you survive, and that's a big if, you'll come back in here and keep trying out for the job. But you'll be checking in with us every day, right?
Hell yeah, bro. I forgot to tell you, Mike F. got bitten by a dog.
Oh, really?
What happened?
He was wasted, they borrowed for clothing, and he was like, some dog just bit him. He freaked out. Mike F. is really scary when he gets mad.
Who's gotten more tails so far, Moose, Mike F., or you?
Pucci.
Oh, really?
Pucci hooked up 6 times.
Wow. Now, just macking with the ladies, or is he actually hitting home runs, as Jeter would do?
Dude, he said he sealed the deal every time.
And where are you, by the way? I mean, he's in the room sealing the deal.
Dude, Mike F. told me that Poochie was sealing the deal with a chick, and her head was out the window. And Poochie is like, bro, come over here. Sneak up behind, and they switch places. And the girl turned around, dude. It was Mike F.'s twin sister.
Wow. Wow. That's that had to bum Mike F. out, huh?
That was last spring break, though.
Yeah. All right. All right, so you're going to keep checking in with us, giving us a report from spring break?
Bro, speaking of seal the deal, I really need to get hired.
Okay, well, we'll see what we can do, but so far, just be our correspondent from Cabo.
All right, bro, I'm sneaking around. The spring break is over.
Okay, but you're hanging out. What are you guys going to do tonight? Going out just bar hopping?
They're building one of the biggest shooter sleds in, like, the Western Hemisphere.
So you're going to be on that? You're going to be manning that?
Yeah, it's like one of it's like 80 feet or something. By the time the shot gets to your mouth, it's like ice cold. You can't even taste it.
All right, dude. Well, don't get too hung over that you can't talk to us and give us a little spring break checkup tomorrow. All right, Def Rat Guy?
Woo! Let's race.
Okay, dude.
If you're not racing, this day is.
All right. All right. Thank you, everyone. Def Rat Guy. You know him as Maverick and Jason. They evidently have no lawyers in Mexico because when I was there for somebody's bachelor party, we went to some bar in Cabo where they actually put shackles on your shins and strung you up, hung you upside down with a block and tackle while you just swung across the bar, literally just by your feet, like you got caught in one of those tiger traps or something from a Rambo movie, just swinging while they're shooting tequila shots down your throat and you're inverted. Isn't somebody going to aspirate on their own vomit or something? I mean, isn't that thing just going to break and someone's going to whack their head on the mahogany bar? I mean, could you imagine that going on here in the States? All right. Tijuana used to have a bar we used to go to where all the waiters and waitresses dressed up. Actually, I think they're only waiters. They dressed up as jailbirds and clowns and all kinds of stuff. They wore roller skates, and they would give you those slammers. They'd just put the 7-Up and the tequila and the shot glass, and they'd slam it down, and they'd scream, and they'd dump it in your mouth, and then they would shake your head violently. And I'm not making this up, people. I heaved in the ice maker, by the way. In the ice maker, the old school one where you slide the door, and they come up behind you. There's nothing you can do. You do this. If we're all out at this bar and Rachel Perry, she's not feeling well. She's a little under the weather. She's hungover from last night. She's a teetotaler. I want her to have a shot. Here's what I do. Excuse me. I'm going to go to the bathroom. I get up. I start walking over. I stop one of the waiters. See that blonde over there? Uh-huh. Yeah, with the bird tattoo. Yeah. Give her a popper. And that's it. It's done. He comes up behind you. You have no idea what's going on. He pulls your head back, throws in the popper, and then violently shakes your head until the room is a blur, and then you later on vomit. That's
wonderful.
Yeah, it's a good time. Maverick would
like
be with me.
Try.
Buena.
Yeah.
Like to see you try.
All right. You go down. We'll go down to Tijuana.
Oh, I meant, you
I'll
know.
I'll buy an M80. I'll get you a popper. We'll take a quick break. Sheck is going to unveil a new report, Dave's Jerk Report. These are the jerks who need tending to in society.
To populate our world.
That's right. He's going to call them out after this.
This is Dave Foley. Give Adam a call at 1-866-901-ADAM.
Mm-hmm. Well, there are a lot of rights. I should say a lot of wrongs in the world that need righting. And that man who's going to do the righting is young Dave Damashek, because we decided it'd be good for him to do a jerk report.
That's right. There are a lot of jerks in the world, and I aim to clean up this mess called the Big Blue Marble.
Thank you. Isn't that TV show?
The Jerk Report with Dave Damashek reporting.
Powerful.
That's right. That's Creep playing.
That's right. By
this,
your radio.
This song goes out to all the creeps out there. Now, the first jerk is anyone who points out that it's called the Jerk Report, but we're playing Creep. So it should really be the Creep Report.
Yeah.
But if you point that out, you're a jerk.
Yes,
all right.
Braska.
That's the start. Now,
right.
Next. These people, are you aware of these people that are attending funerals of the soldiers who have been killed in Iraq?
Yes.
And they're coming home because they won't support a country
that in their estimation supports homosexuals.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to some of these classy people.
Every time a soldier gets blown to smithereens in Iraq with an IED, we rejoice.
Sure.
We're ordered to rejoice. He's a Christ-rejecting pervert who died for a pervert army, defending a pervert nation,
help me understand.
He's in hell.
They're going to funerals and protesting the funerals while these dead soldiers are coming home.
They hate IEDs and IUDs, I think is what it is. Oh, no, they love IEDs and hate IUDs. Yes.
You know what I say?
Hmm.
Jerks!
Yeah.
Next.
Oh, wait a minute. I think those guys are gay performance artists that are just taken to the street. I know, I've seen these guys, too. They're complaining. It's right in the Bible. But again, isn't this just a... Shouldn't we just look at these people as shouldn't we chase them with butterfly nets and put them in little padded cells?
What gives?
Shame on you people.
Next, you heard about the cow in Alabama who has the mad cow disease?
Mm-hmm.
Jerk!
Really?
What's he bringing that to this country for? We don't want it. We want to eat our steaks and burgers in peace.
Well, where did the cow come from?
I don't know. I don't know where he got it from, but I say give it back, and until you do... Dave Damashek's calling you a jerk.
Wow. All right.
Next. The guy, when we were in Vegas, when we were at the restaurant a couple nights ago in Vegas, eating a nice steak, a classy joint, the busboy, he dumps an entire pitcher of ice-cold water all over my back. Not a glass. He dumped the whole thing all over my back. And then he's toweling me off. He's trying to pat me down with his towel. And he says in my ear, he says, somebody hit my hand.
Yes.
Oh, is that right?
You're not looking for excuses.
You didn't dump a pitcher on a complete stranger, on a customer?
Well, here's the thing. Normally, those things seem worse than they actually are. It's a lot of commotion, stuff getting spilled. No one really gets hit that badly. Sheck was covered in ice water. Bruska made the situation worse by patting you down and sticking your T-shirt to your moistened undershirt. But a gallon of water, it was the Gatorade. It's like he just won the Super Bowl. And LT dumped the thing of Gatorade on his head. Not so much as a shrimp cocktail was on the house, by the way. Hey, if you dump a pitcher of water on a patron, you got to throw in something. Dinner salad, something. That's
Absolutely.
My argument.
He labels himself the victim of someone else bumping his hand. I label him jerk!
Thank you.
Next. The White Sox pitcher who's trying to catch on with the big league club who has one hand.
Yeah.
This guy, everybody thinks he's an inspirational story trying to latch on, you know, with all he's overcoming his lack of a hand. I say, how dare you? You're taking away my excuses. Roger Clemens is 6'5" and throws 103 miles an hour. He should be in the big leagues over me. But a guy with one hand, I have no excuses left.
That's an attack, Dave.
Think of someone else.
He's shaming
you. I label
you
jerk.
Yes.
And lastly, the creep of the week. The first ever, the inaugural creep of the week. Yes, it's the San Francisco Giant who suffers from gigantism thanks to his steroid use. It's Barry Bonds. You, sir, are a creep!
Thought it was a jerk.
All right, you just made the list, lady.
Wait a minute, though. Isn't it the jerk?
The song's
I didn't
creep.
Come here to be attacked.
All right. Well, maybe you should stop coming here then. All right, that's the show. Nice job, Sheck. I want to give thank yous where thank yous are due. I want to thank my buddy Bolo, heavyweight champ of California. Going to be at the Henry Ford Theater this Thursday fighting with many other fights. I'm going to be there drunk and enjoying myself at the Henry Ford Theater Thursday. DJ Quick live from the House of Blues coming out June 6th. Lisa Lampanelli, beautiful Lisa Lampanelli. Label the Cable, Larry, what's it called Label? Maybe it's because I'm coming right off of Lampanelli. Anyway, Larry the Cable Guy, Health Inspector, is out on March 24th. She's starring in that. And, of course, Maverick, Death Rat Guy. John Cryer in tomorrow. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying mahalo.